Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
They brought me into a room and politely and kind of like boring, really kind of a bland way, fired me.
Pat Bryant, what a jerk. Can't wait to get rid of him.
He's like really tight.
The book that I'm recommending to you is a book by William T. Bowman. He's like sort of a superstar of the postmodern medium. You've committed to this.
Do you need any books to read? I'm not going to read.
It's called The Ice Shirt.
It has a glossary with words I have to learn. Like, shut up.
But Chris, you need something to read when you're in a hospital.
Dude, who's this?
This is Chris Liver.
Oh, hi, Liver. How you doing, buddy?
Beat me, I'm so thirsty.
I don't know, something probably. Who's this?
Chris.
Hey, who's this?
Vodka.
Oh. Hey, Vodka, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
Chris, we miss you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in show.
Welcome!
Music there. You know why? Because it's music time on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do through ears, and the place to be. Having a fantastic, fantastic evening tonight. I hope you'll all be a part. Join us, 877-744-6405. Whatever, you know? Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. As I just said, join us, be part, you know, hang, chill. I'm going to be here all night. My name's Chris. You know who else is going to be here with me all night? I look across the table and I see him. It's a sexy little boy. His name is Keith.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi, good
welcome
evening.
Welcome to Best in Show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. I'm glad you'd have me.
I was
me.
Welcoming them.
Oh,
I'm not. I think you're welcomed already.
Oh, okay. Is it a foregone conclusion that I am always welcomed, or is it just today?
Foregone conclusion supported a little outfit called Texas.
Whoa,
in the 80s.
I don't even know what in God's name you're talking about. I don't listen to hip hop.
It was an English office reference.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I listen to hip hop only. Hey, look who's next to you. It's your buddy. His name is Fred.
Snow day.
You didn't go to school today?
No.
Fantastic. Is that the only reason you didn't go to school today?
I'm Martin Luther King too.
But okay, so it wasn't a snow day.
He wouldn't give you a lift?
No. So you were off no matter what.
Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Well, good. I was going to be a little upset if that weren't the case.
Totally. I taught those damn kids about that guy.
It's true. His mustache and everything, obviously. And I look across the table and I see an empty space where Brian sits. Ah, oh, it feels so good. It feels so good. But most importantly, I look down to the other side of the table and I see the executive producer fiddling with a camera, touching himself, doing all sorts of naughty, naughty things. His name is Bobby G.
What's going on, fellas?
Hanging.
Banging.
Chilling and whatnot. Exciting. Cornballs. Pair of cornballs.
It's mighty white outside, boys.
It really is.
You like how I shoveled the walk for you?
Yeah, it was very impressive.
It was like 2 feet, you know, it was like the width of the shovel and down, you know, a 12-foot area.
Nah, you know what? He shoveled his deck a little bit, too. He did. I would say it took him, for those that don't know, the way that we enter into Best in Show Studios here in the palatial estates of Bobby G is we walk down his driveway and we get shuffled in through the back door where the neighbors can't see what sort of animals he's allowing in here. And I'd say the path that he shoveled probably took him, I'm going to say, 9.5 minutes. 9.5 minutes to get it clear. Was that about accurate, Bobby G?
I'd say probably less than that.
Okay.
Less than 9.5 minutes.
If it would have taken that long,
I stopped smoking a week ago. It would have been at least 9.5 minutes if I was still smoking.
Oh, but now you've trimmed that down to about 8 minutes now? Good 8 minutes?
Yeah. My phlegm's back to kind of a normal color. It's been great.
There is no way that it's affecting you that much that fast.
Oh, God. My body's totally, like, withdrawing from it, yeah.
Well, first of all, your physical addiction to cigarettes, if you don't mind me saying so, only lasts for, like, 2-3 days, something like that. So physically, you're done with it. But as far as your body, your lungs repairing, like, that could take months for your phlegm to really be that delicious green yellow that it's supposed to be. Well, green when you're infected and yellow when it's just a regular day. That'll take years to get back to that.
Great.
Or months at the very least. But I gave into the peer pressure of Fred saying years, so I went with it. And I think that's
well, how long did he smoke?
About 2 weeks.
No,
he's smoked since the beginning of January, and he just quit.
And it should take for no time. Now, you said you've been smoking since the summer, right?
It's probably over a year now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and then I was smoking for like 18 years before that.
It's better than being, oh, okay.
You know, I quit for when my daughter was born, I quit for 3-4 years, and then I went back.
I really thought you were going to say minutes until you could walk out of the room.
By the way, this is agreeing in the Heroes Talk room that it only takes a few months for your lungs to get totally clear.
Months?
I'm going to say it takes 10 to 15 years per each cigarette you've had in your entire life.
I think they're stronger than ever, too, when they come back.
Oh, God. It's well, don't call it a comeback. They've been there for years. It's really delicious, though.
What happened to LL Cool J?
What do you mean?
Is he really going to come back and tell us not to call it a comeback?
He's acting. He acts at this point. He's a famous actor. He was in House Party, I think.
He had a TV show. Didn't he have a sitcom, a UPN sitcom?
He definitely did. I don't know if it was UPN. I'll say it was. I'll say it definitely was, but I have no idea. I think he's done a great
job. Please
don't
ask me why I thought it was UPN. Don't call me out like that.
He's got all like family-oriented like stuff, like Eddie Murphy. Like they go from like, you know, the risque type of roles and things, you know, and then they just go to the family Disney films.
But didn't Eddie Murphy's going to family sort of things coincide with him getting caught for banging a dude's feet in a car? Like, and then he decided he was going to clean his act up? Wasn't that kind of what his thing was?
Could have been a coincidence. I don't know. I don't know if that was the case.
Because he was a guy who made fun of quote-unquote faggots for years, and then he was banging a dude's feet in the car. So, like, then all of a sudden, he's doing Dr. Doolittle instead. All of a sudden, the you know, all the vagina jokes are gone.
Like Meet Dave? That's the movie that he did most recently, Meet Dave, where he comes from another planet and, like, inhabits the body of, like, a 10-year-old boy or something. I may be completely wrong about the details, but...
I believe you. There's literally, you could say anything because... Post Beverly Hills Cop 2, I don't know anything that's happened in his life.
Meet Dave.
Oh, well, that actually happened, and that happened. Other than him banging that dude's feet, I don't know anything else that he did. Those are the only things.
Michael Jackson was supposed to get the lead in the Meet Dave movie, but they said it would be too
much. But he was inhabiting the body of a different 10-year-old boy at the time?
Fair.
No drum roll or anything for that?
You could do ba-da-boom. You should do those.
How about that OJ?
Oh, seriously, though. So it's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. As I was saying before, you want to be a part, you can, 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger, I'm on as Best in Show Chris, he's on as Best in Show Keith, the other guy, he's on as Rob Giggs with a Z. And I think that's about it. So what's going on
with
you fellas?
Is Fred ever going to have a laptop or anything? Or?
No.
We were talking about that today, me and him, actually.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of getting Freddy behind the keys a little bit.
I think that's a bad idea.
Not for the show.
Like playing keyboards?
Yeah.
You can do keyboards like in your spare time? You
want
he's paying for piano lessons?
And Rob's new band.
We're going to get something. We'll see what happens.
A little something.
See, I think it's...
Not for the internet.
Okay, for more the web?
No, more for maybe the sound stuff.
Okay, well, good for you. Oh, so you can get oh, so you can stop with your stupid iPod all day.
So when I do Michael Jackson jokes, I can get
exactly. No, that's. I look forward to it. I hope everything works out for you.
Well, you don't want me behind a computer?
I don't. I'm not used to you being behind a computer. Now, when we're doing like any pre-show stuff now, now that Fred and I are in close contact doing pre-show stuff every week, it feels so odd to get an email from him. It's like, what? He has email? I didn't know anything about that.
I'm not close being next to a computer either. Believe me. You're right. You're right. I'm not good with computers. I can't handle them.
Yeah,
I hate them.
But that's the thing. Like, I mean, like the fact of the matter is, we have a forum. Fantastic forum over at RadioBronzeFans.com where everyone talks. It's for the Heroes Talk family where people address all things Best in Show. They address all things DJ New Style. They address all things Germ Freak. They just address all things, period. And it's a fabulous forum that I don't think you've ever registered for. I mean, you've been on the network for about a year now and you never registered for it. Not once. You've probably never looked at it once.
I don't know how.
He doesn't know how to be interested in our forum.
Oh, okay. That's true. That's true. I can understand that.
He doesn't get a chance to see the funny Fred posts and all those other things. Nice.
See, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what's funny? Like, you talked about pre-show stuff. Like, I've been coming up with things, and, like, I find myself segregating topics now.
Hey, come on. Today of all days? No segregation today, my friend. We're all together.
I felt the word coming out of my mouth. I'm thinking, is there any way I could just rush through the sentence with
with these jerks at the table with me? Not a chance.
And I find topics that that I say, you know what? Like Brian should probably be there for that, Brian. And like, there's an alarming amount.
There's a lot of video game talk and stuff like that.
There's an alarming amount of topics. Oh, it's alarming. I was alarmed myself that I feel the need for Brian to be there for and. It made me think, like, it is kind of weird with Brian not here. I think, like, do you think you could get used to doing this show without any of us here?
Oh, sure. without even thinking about it.
You mean all of us?
I wouldn't even miss a beat. Well, but when at 7:57, when Rob looked over me and said, hey, so is anybody else showing up for the show? I'm like, it doesn't really make a difference. Don't worry about it. You got the golden boy here. And I'll chime in when you're done talking, Rob.
Like, do you think, like, down the road? Well, let me explain what made me think of this. I was watching TV, as I do, and I saw, you remember the show At the Movies? It was, it started with Siskel and Ebert. It was their show they put together called At the Movies.
Right.
And then it was taken over by Rex Reed, and I can't remember his other partner's name for years.
I had no idea about this. I had no idea.
And now there's At the Movies, and it has two completely different guys. And it just seemed kind of weird to me. Now, granted, I understand Siskel and Ebert
left. Wait. Doesn't Ebert and Roper, don't they do a show now? Isn't that the same show?
Well, that show... That's exactly the thing. That's the Siskel and Ebert. It was always called Siskel and Ebert. At the Movies was a different show that Siskel and Ebert started on, and then they went on, I believe, to their own show. Am I mistaken?
I have no idea.
At the Movies had two hosts that were popular hosts when it first came on. And I saw the other day, and it was two random guys doing it, and I just thought it was weird.
I'm sure they weren't random. They probably didn't just pick people off the street that day and say, hey, you guys want to review some movies? Well, don't make a difference if you've seen it. Don't worry about it. Come on in.
Random to me, though. And I was just wondering, like, is it odd for, like, two guys to start a show and then years later two other people just to be doing the show? Like, would it be odd to you, like, put aside, like, would it be odd that Best in Show was actually this popular, huge entity 10, 15 years from now? Like,
Oh, wait, sorry. I got a good chuckle there for a second.
Like, if it somehow led to, like, 20 years from now, like, Best in Show Radio just being, like Nugget Man and Zombie, would that be, like...
That would be my favorite show ever. I would listen to Nugget and Zombie all day.
But at least they would have ties to the original show. But, like, if it was just two random guys out of, like, journalism school, you know, like sure. Doing the show, would it seem odd to you, like, two guys had an idea, started a show, and all of a sudden other people are doing it years later?
I mean not to go for the stupid joke, in all honesty, and I mean no disrespect to any of the other people here on the show, but I think that any show, I think Best in Show, being that it started with Keith and I think anything that wouldn't be Keith and I wouldn't be Best in Show. So I, even if, you know, if I died, you know, when my liver explodes and I die, I would hope that the show wouldn't still be called Bessinger of that if Keith decided that he was going, you know, that he was going to go on a, you know, a cross-country walk or whatever, some sort of thing, and live in the mountains or something. I don't think we could call it Bessinger Show without him. And that's, I mean, those two things, you know, the two people that started. And if you're telling me that At the Movies was started by Ebert and Roper, then I think, I mean,
Siskel and Ebert.
Right, Ebert and Roper. If it was started by them, then I don't think that anyone after that should have been At the Movies. Like, you know what? Like Conan O'Brien, Late Night with Conan O'Brien. It shouldn't be called Late Night. It should be like the Conan O'Brien Show.
It really shouldn't be called Late Night with Conan O'Brien anymore.
Oh, he's like not
someone
on
else,
anymore?
No, I'm saying if someone else took over.
What, did someone else take over?
No, I'm saying if they did.
Oh, okay.
Like if John, Late Night with Conan O'Brien starring Jon Stewart.
But Late Night used to be Late Night with David Letterman is my point. Before he became The Late Show, before he switched networks, The Late Night was David Letterman's show.
Right, right.
And so now it's Late Night with Conan O'Brien. I don't think it should be Late Night anymore.
But bands still keep their names. Like Leonard Skinner, there's not, maybe there's one or two original members of Leonard Skinner in
but
the
I
band.
Think there's
like eight well, new members.
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Agreed. I'm with you 100% that the name should change once at least the core group is gone. Like you can replace one or two guys, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or change it even. Like, we didn't have to change Best in Show to a different show. Like, when we had Vanessa start calling in, like, it shouldn't have just changed then. It's like, oh, we can't be Best in Show anymore. We're a different show. And then when we had, you know, Brian come in and you come in, like, we're not going to change it
sure.
like that. So why should you change if one or two leave? I think if the core originals are gone, then I think you should change it.
Do you think the Beatles should have changed their name when Pete Best left?
Yes. I agree. I agree that they should have.
And I think Ringo should have just changed his name to Pete Better.
Yeah, I think, well, one guy, it's hard, man.
It's, yeah.
But he is original, though. He's original.
It depends on who it is,
the
really.
New originals. They should have become the new Beatles.
I don't know.
Wait, go on.
I feel like, it's just odd, I guess. You know what it is? And, like, obviously, like, the show isn't owned by the guys that start it, but like it just seems like to go shoot from like two guys sitting in a room deciding they're gonna do something, and then it just becomes this big thing, and then years later there's just other people doing it. It's just
that's a big point though. The fact is that show wasn't created by them.
Or I believe it wasn't created by them.
There weren't other writers that said, "All right, well, and we'll take these two movie critics and use them."
Yeah, no, I think it was their idea as friends, as lifelong friends.
I'm sure they got paid for it. I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're both doing great today, no matter what. Even though one may be dead, may or may not be. It's unconfirmed whether one may or may not be dead, but I'm sure they're doing fine.
See, it's one of the reasons why I really didn't get too into Saturday Night Live, because there were some seasons that were amazing and you would get used to that cast, and then the cast was always changing with Saturday Night Live and you never fully, you know, fully saw their progression, or, you know what I mean, as a cast. It was always changing, and you got used to it, and then the next season was different.
Well,
it was like, oh man, this is yeah, not the same.
And sometimes it's the drastic cast changes that hurt a lot with that show, too, sometimes. I haven't been a regular viewer of that show. The last time I was a regular viewer was probably when, when Adam Sandler and David Spade and those guys became regular cast members instead of, like, featured cast members, because the writing got so bad at that point that I just couldn't watch it anymore. And I watched it when Will Ferrell, I still don't know how to say his name, but Jimmy
Will Ferrell's Ice Cream.
Yeah, and Jimmy Fallon and those people were on, but I was never like, it wasn't like, all right, 11:30, I want to watch Saturday Night Live now, you know? Like, but I did see it at times. It was good, but
it's sketch comedy, though. Like, recycling people on sketch comedy, I think, is fine.
It's almost like if there was, like, 10 years from now, the kids in the hall were five young comedians from Canada.
But that's different, though, because the basis of Saturday Night Live was always a recycling cast. So
right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's different. It's not, I should have said, it's not like as if it was the kids in the hall and then, like, there was new people doing it, you know, like, but I haven't watched that show, and is it good?
What is that?
Saturday Night Live. Is it worth watching anymore? I can't even name one cast member. Amy Poehler.
Oh, dude.
Fred Armisen is pretty funny.
All you need to know is Christopher Guest's daughter is on it now, and she's adorable. She's absolutely adorable. I'm
going to
say her name is
Rachel Dratch?
Kelly. Yes, Rachel Dratch. I would call her Kelly Guest or Amy Guest or Amelia Guest, Emily Guest, maybe. I'm just going to randomly keep calling out girls' names until
11
I get
o'clock.
It. But whatever she is, she's adorable. She wasn't very funny, but she was adorable. Ah, fell in love with her. Instantly fell in love with her.
Did you know she wasn't funny?
Yeah, well, who was, when, 2 weeks ago or last week, Neil Patrick Harris was the host, and I made a point to check it out because it was Neil Patrick Harris, because, I don't know, I like him. And about, like, right before the first musical break, which is, like, at midnight, like, we went through, like, two or three bits, and I was just like, yeah, this sucks, man. I can't watch that. Even though Christopher Guest's daughter is adorable. Cute as a button, I would say. Adorable. Knockout.
In what vein?
Stunning.
Is she blonde?
No.
Brunette?
Yes.
Yeah? English accent or no?
No, not at all. Wait, Christopher Guest? Oh, is she black? No, she doesn't have an English accent. But she's really cute. She's a cute girl.
And she's not hot. No English accent, not black, not hot.
Oh, okay. If those are your prerequisites for hot.
You're a big Jodie Watley fan?
Totally. Okay.
Law and Order is the same way to me. Law and Order, when the cast constantly rotates and, like, you get attached to people and, like, they just disappear, you know, like...
I hate
Jesse
that.
L. Martin was my favorite Law and Order. Or...
I hate that. How about on Lost, too? Is Lost the same thing? It's cast changes constantly?
Well, they're different. You got to find different pieces of this plane.
Okay.
It's a, you know, it's a big island. There's lots of pieces of the plane and then a big island with lots of different people living all over it and then different people getting shipped in. So you're going to have different people. It's not like a full cast change. The core group is still there. I think it's fine.
But go on.
62 Mets, completely different team now. It's not the same anymore.
Yeah, but I don't think you call them the 62 Mets anymore.
I think
okay. Hey, what are you doing today? I'm going to see the 62 Mets playing later on today. Wait, how are they doing that? It's 2009. Yeah, you know.
But even if one cast member changes on a show, I get super pissed. Like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, they changed the mother at the end, like, the ending two seasons, they changed the mother. And I was like, I couldn't watch the show anymore.
See, I don't like when they try to just tell you this is a different person now. Like, this person is this person now.
Exactly.
You
know?
Like, they should have killed her off with married.
Roseanne with the daughter when the daughter left and there was a different girl playing her.
But at least they constantly poked fun at it on Roseanne, you know, like the idea that it was like, they were still doing it, I guess, but at least they acknowledged it. But like, you know, that whole soap opera, like when they would come in, like the part of so-and-so will now be played by, like just right in the middle of the show when the person walks into the room.
It's so beat.
And there was
Wait, they would actually do that? They would actually address it? That person you're seeing is a different person than you think it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
I've never even heard that ever in my life. On what shows do they do that on?
As a matter of fact, they did it on Roseanne. The part of Becky will now be played by Sarah Chalk or whatever the new girl's name is.
Yeah, I never really watched too much Roseanne. So.
Oh, either did I.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, as Mark Dock points out, the two Darrens, you know,
indeed,
on Bewitched.
Indeed.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, do you envision Best in Show ever being hosted by anyone else?
No, again, like I was saying before, I think once the original core guys, either one of the original core guys being, and I say core as if like we're the core, but the original two guys, if either one of the two of us are gone, I think it should change its name.
What if it was Brian and Fred? 10 years from now, Brian and Fred are still doing it, Best in Show Radio. 5 years from now.
What were the circumstances of you and I not being on the show?
Death. No, not death. 5 years from now, you left. You just couldn't do it anymore. And I left right after that. And Brian and Fred wanted to continue on.
I think they should keep doing it. You know, because you know what? Everything should stay the same. No one has to change anything. I think it's fine. I'm changing my whole tune. Because in all seriousness,
I don't want to do that. Do I have a say, guys?
No, you That's have. If you and Brian are doing a show produced by Bobby G, it's called Best in Show. No matter what.
Oh, okay.
Even if you want to call like Night at the Movies with Fred and Brian, you can't do it. You can't do it. That's it. It's just Best in Show for the rest of your life.
What if it was like Spickle and Veal Chop? This is hosting Best in Show 10 years from now.
I would love that. I would love that too. I would hope for something like that. That or P. Roll and Grevo hosting a show.
I like that kind of role.
Oh my God, Barb and Nugget Man together at last. That would be my favorite show. I would go crazy for it.
I want Nugget Man and Zombie Show now. I think.
See, that's not bad though. That's not bad. I think I like the dynamic between Barb and Nugget Man though. Like him saying stuff and her just like dismissing him, telling him to shut up. Oh, it'd be fantastic. I could listen to that role for days on end.
You mean the Brian Chris dynamic?
Exactly. I like what you're thinking. I like the cut of your jib. I think, although you never told us, what are you thinking? Do you think you pose the question, but you're not saying it either way? How do you want it done? Does Best in Show stay Best in Show, or not even just Best in Show, any show for that matter? Should they change ever?
Well, I mean, as far as Best in... I'll answer that in two parts, if I may. As far as Best in Show itself, as long as, you know, obviously when the Chris and Keith power, fantastical power hour has taken off at that point.
Right, right. Oh, you know, well, Thursday on Sunday's return. Don't call it a comeback. It's Thursday on Sunday.
I just call the show LL. I call it LL, to be honest. But as far as that, yeah, I'll leave now, honestly. If you guys want to just do the show, you know, I'm fine. But as far as other shows, I think if it's the brainchild of two people or whatever group of people, and then the name.
Are you reading our press kit with the word brainchild?
And then the media, the name is bought out by a company who decides to put other people in place. I think that's kind of lame. I don't think that should be done. I think it's kind of lame to jump into that spot too if you're really looking to make a name for yourself.
I think if someone's offering you money to do something, whatever it is, I'm with it. Whatever, I'll do anything.
That's true.
If you're offering me $20 to start hosting a show week in and week out called the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak, I'll do it. $20 a week, I'll take it on. I'll be more than happy to do that. Granted, a lot of people will be pissed off when they hear what it is instead of that, but whatever. For money, I'll do anything for money. I'm a real, real classy
star. Anything for money?
Anything.
Get on your knees, Chris.
Oh, well, very good. Very good.
So this weekend I was in Pennsylvania on this snowy, snowy weekend. And I had a couple of near-death experiences.
A couple of near-death experiences?
I swear to God.
You mean you fell over?
All weekend it was like near-death experience after near-death experience. First, coming home from the baby shower that I went to, a deer almost ran out in front of my car and had to stop and skid.
Okay, slow down. You've just described a near-death experience, or you've clarified a near-death experience to be described as a deer almost ran in front of my car.
Okay, so
I almost died.
On the highway, coming home, icy highway, I just see a deer from like my peripheral vision.
Your perennial zone. From your perennial zone, you could see it. You had an eye between your balls and your ass, and you saw it.
And I see it run out, and I slam on the brakes, and it just skid. My car just skids about 20 feet. The deer gets scared and runs off.
Okay, but where did your car wind up? Just still in the middle of the road?
Still in the middle of the road.
Okay, so near death, you mean you hit the brakes.
Yes.
Okay, that's
very... And skidded.
You almost died. I mean, you did skid, so can I understand.
Second near-death experience on the highway.
I really thought there was going to be more. Oh. That's really a near-death experience to you,
maniac. Absolutely.
Okay.
That was more like a deer-death experience.
Exactly.
Second near-death experience on the highway behind some SUV that hasn't cleaned off the ice on the top of his roof.
Oh, that's my favorite thing to do. Because then when I'm driving fast down the highway, it's like a big refrigerator falls off the top of my car on the car behind me. Oh, and I laugh and laugh and laugh. It's terrific.
Well, that's exactly what happened. But I was the guy behind that refrigerator.
Sorry.
So I see it come up off the car, and it's about to land right on top of my windshield, basically, and crack my whole windshield. So I had to then
crack it.
I'm sure it would have went through. It was ice. It was a chunk of ice.
And you're basing this on what? Seeing it hit the ground and disintegrate into 3 seconds, and you hit it. It wasn't even like a bump
or
a slip.
It hit the ground. It hit the ground and broke in half. It didn't even...
The ground broke in half from this chunk of ice. Oh, my God.
No, the chunk of ice broke in half. The chunk of ice didn't shatter like you think it would. It broke in half. It was a solid chunk of ice. Slammed on the brakes.
So essentially an ice skating rink fell off of someone's car and barely missed you.
Yes.
My God.
Second near-death experience.
All right.
And you know what? You know what I think about? Like, you think when you... Near-death experiences, you... like your whole life flashes in front of you.
Yeah, I don't buy into that.
No, I don't either, because the two near-death experiences, I was just scared as hell.
Well, can I point out that neither one of them were near-death experiences?
They are totally near-death experiences.
Isn't it a near-death experience? I thought that's like when you think you died and came back. Isn't that what a near-death experience is?
Cool, say again?
I thought a near-death experience was like when you think you died and came back.
Oh, I don't know if I would call that near death. That's like
I don't know. That's like
some past death and back.
That's fake, like fakey, crazy, nutty, nutty feels. That's what I call that. That's what that feeling is.
They're playing tomorrow night, by the way.
Oh man, they're awesome.
Well, that U.S. Airways crash. That's a near death experience.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
You just likened ice falling off of a car to a plane crash. You maniac.
Totally.
You forgot about the deer.
Oh, true. Well, that's different. That I agree. And for the record, that plane wasn't even a crash. It was a landing. It was fine. It went in the water. It wasn't near death. Don't get me wrong. I definitely would have suggested that whoever was in the seat next to me have start to have sex with me because this is going to be the last time we could do it ever. Guy or girl would make a difference. But other than that, I wouldn't. That wasn't near death.
Jimmy had it best on ONA the other day when he said, if you only earn 6 frequent flyer miles, it's not a landing.
I'm telling. So, what do you think a near death experience is then, Chris? What do you liken it to?
I don't know. When a doctor is saving your life, when a bullet whizzes by your head, maybe when you go out to a notorious B.I.G. movie, you know, and bullets go raining past you while you're sitting in the theater enjoying your popcorn, something like that. That's near death.
Yeah.
When something that can kill you, not when an ice cube falls on the floor in front of you. Somebody spilt a Coke, and all of a sudden, it's a near-death experience.
It was a big piece of ice, man. I'm telling you.
I understand. It was a large Coke that ice spilled out of. It was insane. Yeah, like a deer being on the side of the road looking at you somehow is not a near-death experience. I mean, don't get me wrong. He might have been giving you the evil eye, which, you know, according to some Italians, can't kill you. But I wouldn't consider that a near-death experience.
Have you ever had one?
Near-death experience? I'm trying to think. I've been scared before. I've been scared. I'm trying to think. I've been scared to the point that I thought I was dying. Like when you get hit by a car, it's pretty. You get scared that you could think it's a dumb. But I wouldn't call it near death.
Really?
I've never been injured in a car accident. Never been injured in a car accident. Like I've gotten a bruise. Like I haven't like majorly injured.
But people die in car accidents every day. So for you to get into a car accident, you don't think it's a near death experience?
Nah. Now, depending on the circumstance of the accident, I'll give you this one. My car accident that I had, it was on a night just like this. Snowy, icy, not so hot weather. I was driving on the service road of the Staten Island Expressway, the finest expressway in the history of the land, and I started sliding on the ice. And as I was sliding, the car starts spinning, and I'm trying to slam my foot down on the brakes, which everyone knows is what you're not supposed to do when you're sliding on ice. Mind you, I was like 18 at the time, 19, like barely just had a car, didn't really know what the hell I was doing, didn't know I'm supposed to like turn into it and not do anything like that. But moreover, not only was I not hitting the brake, I was so paralyzed with fear, I was slamming down on the gas. Which made things good. So as I'm spinning, I'm going through the gas, I went through the gate. That's the fence that separated the service road from the highway and wound up in the middle lane of the highway facing oncoming traffic. I sideswiped 2 cars, but I got like a bruise. I wouldn't consider that near-death experience.
You are crazy. That is a near-death experience. You are nuts.
I think the closest I've ever come, and I was told later that this was a near-death experience. I was told that we were lucky to live through it was I was driving with Chris in his wife's car and
we had a near-death
axle
experience
broke or something,
car.
And we went spinning around, and
oh yeah, well that was
and it didn't seem like a big deal to me, but then I was told, yeah, you were pretty lucky because you know.
Yeah, but where were we? We were on like Richmond Avenue. We weren't like going any place crazy. Where
were we? Weren't we coming off a highway?
I don't remember.
We got drunk after that.
I'm going to say no. After I'm going to say no. It wasn't a near-death experience. It felt fine to me. We got the car fixed.
So the axle, the front axle broke, and your car just went spinning out of control.
I don't remember all the spinning so much, but maybe it did. I really don't remember a lot of things in my life. My life is a hazy thing.
Sometimes in the 80s, I stayed out past midnight in my neighborhood. I think that was maybe a near-death experience.
It's true.
So did anybody maybe pop a few extra Tylenols and feel like they've had any sort of near-death experiences when it comes to medication?
I wasn't even thinking about that. Well, the drug of choice that I used to be quite so fond of was a little drug. It's not commonly known. It's called cocaine. That I was really into, and what I used to the method with which I would use cocaine was pretty fantastic, and I would smash a whole bunch of it into my body, and when I did, you'd get the ringing in your ears that was described as being hell's bells. Like, this is the last sound you hear before you die. And basically, any time that you're doing cocaine, if you don't hear that, you must feel like it's a waste of time. Because if you don't get that ringing in your ears, like, I'm not high enough yet.
Oh, man.
That's the way that you would go with it. That's the way I went with it, anyway. I mean,
I don't know if I was near death. Just taking, like, 30 Valiums over the course of a night because you think they're not working. And then waking up with hospital tags on your count.
Absolutely. Wait, yellows or blues?
Blue.
Oh, yeah, that's near death. Yellows, no. You could take 30 yellows, no problem. But blues, I don't know.
Waking up the next morning with hospital tags. What the hell is going on here?
And what happened? What wound up happening? Did somebody told you the story of what you did?
Yeah,
you
my mother, luckily for me.
Oh, God.
I was staying at her apartment. She wasn't going to
so
be there. I was staying at her apartment.
So proud.
She just happened to come back, and I was like all blue and passed out on the bed. Like, and like, she tried to wake me up and like had to take me to the hospital.
So if she didn't come, you would have died.
She tried to put makeup on you. Why is he so blue? Get a little color. She gave you a little rouge, and you felt fine. That would be a near-death experience, because you basically were going to die if your mom didn't come. So you win.
I got one. Got one, Fred.
It's definitely better than the deer. By the way, Spickle, our buddy in the Heroes Talk Room, was talking about that he was crossing the middle island in between roads, and his leg wasn't on fully, which I don't even understand what that means. I didn't know he had a detachable leg. And the car hit him and spun him in the air. That's insane to me, like being like flipped up in the air.
He wasn't fully on the little island, middle island thing in between the road. He was
his leg. Okay. So that's why when I was saying his leg wasn't on yet, I'm just thinking like, what? What the hell are you talking about? I've seen you. You have two legs.
He hadn't had it attached yet. It's expensive to get everything attached at once.
It's true. I was going to say it's a real good looking prosthetic if that's the case.
So he got hit in the leg and got knocked up into the air by a
flipped.
Car?
Flipped by a car. I think that might constitute near. You know what? He got hit by a car.
That's a near-death experience, getting hit by a car physically. When you're not in another car and you physically get hit, that's a near-death experience. Come on.
Depends on how fast the car's going.
Would you say how fast the bullet's going?
No, because I can kill you with... If I threw a bullet at you, it's not a near-death experience.
What about things where you heard like, well, if I was there a half hour earlier, I would have been crushed. If I was there, if I would have got on that ferry, if I would have done that. But a lot of people constitute that as a near-death experience.
I hate that. By the way, I apologize. Spickle, 3 months in the hospital, 3 months out in a cast, and then had to relearn walking.
Oh.
So, yeah, okay, I'm going to call that near-death then. That's fine. That'll be a near-death experience. But no, as what you were just saying, Giggs, people, like, dudes who tell me, bro, I was at the World Trade Center on September 10th. Like, okay, so you were in a building the day before. I understand. Like, it's not like you dove out of the window when you saw a plane coming. Like, you know, it was a day before. It's no big deal.
Oh, I was supposed to go there that year.
Oh, my God. I was at the Empire State Building on September 10th. Like, yeah, and?
I was supposed to vacation in Hiroshima when they dropped the bomb. Wow. Supposed to.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like that deer almost stepped in front of my car.
No, it was running. It stopped. It like did like a stutter step.
Stopped. Oh, he juked you. Yeah. He juked you. He made you break your ankles. He just did a quick cut and went the other direction, and you were just screwed.
Oh, man. I had a near-death experience when I was a little kid. I accidentally ate...
Slipped.
I accidentally ate like a bottle of aspirin. I was eating aspirin. Maybe it was like 5 or 6, and I had
to. They taste like candy, though.
I had to get rushed to the hospital, get my stomach pumped.
5 or 6?
5 or 6 years old.
Now, did somebody
I was ate almost half a bottle of aspirin.
I thought you were saying you ate 5 or 6 aspirins.
No,
because
no.
I mean, by your logic, that is near death. My cousin had her stomach pumped because she ate like a bottle of Tylenol too.
Did somebody see you eat it, or did you start feeling? Did you cop to it and say, "Oh, I did something"?
No, I started feeling like. My mom noticed me that I was feeling weird, you know, just like I was out of it.
I wish we had the audio of him saying, "I feel weird." That's what I thought. I thought that actually happened.
That was a scary experience. Would you call that a near-death experience?
Stomach pump? Well, I've had my stomach pumped. I don't consider that a near-death experience.
From what?
Alcohol poisoning.
Oh, Jesus, really?
And you made it to the show on time?
I don't understand why. What the hell is so funny about that, Giggs? What's so funny?
As you describe it, you know, it's a problem.
It's a disease. I'm sick. I'm a sick, sick person. I was young, too. My friend was having his 21st birthday party at a neighbor. Well, actually, at a bar that used to be a club on Staten Island called Billy O's. And it was $20, all you can drink. And I made sure I got my $20 worth, and the next thing I knew, I was getting my stomach pumped. Apparently, my old Vision streetwear shirt actually had bile all down the front of it because I actually threw up bile. It was pretty gnarly.
And it was just beer? What was it again? What were you drinking?
Oh, no. Everything I could possibly drink. Yeah, Red Devils, Red Death, Alabama Slammers, all stupid, dumb.
How old
shot
this?
What's that?
How old were you?
17.
Did your parents find out? Or like,
yes.
So what?
See, I'm so proud.
So I was just thinking, like, at what age can you, like, you know, say if you're 18 plus, can you actually maybe get away with it? Like, oh wow, I got messed up. I went to the hospital. I got my stomach pump, and nobody knew. And like, I wonder how many people actually try to like get away with it that no family members find out.
Oh, if I told you how many of my friends overdosed on something, and we managed to get them out of it, and they didn't get caught. Sure. That's happened quite a bit. But no, I mean, I actually went to the hospital, and they called my parents, and I got not my parents, my mom. And I got nailed. I'm in trouble. Sorry, Mom. I drank.
So how did you know that you had the poison? When you started throwing up the bile? Was that the first sign?
I don't remember a lot of it. I was totally blacked out. I was told, but I had my Vision streetwear shirt for years with the big green streak down the front that it was supposed to be, I was told it was bile.
Well, yeah, what happened was, I guess he blacked out where somebody was like, he's not conscious, we have to call an ambulance.
Yeah. I was told I was awake. I was told I was awake, but I have no recollection.
Did you go in an ambulance, or did somebody drive
ambulance,
you to the hospital?
Ambulance.
Got that nice heavy ambulance bill.
I remember tripping out on acid with a couple of guys, and one guy just started flipping out, and he insisted to be rushed to the hospital. Insisted, and we were like,
"It's all right, man. It's all right."
Don't worry, trying to talk him down from it.
I couldn't think of any place I would rather be less while tripping out than in a sterile white room and people coming at you with sharp tools and lights flashing. The only thing I can think of I'd rather be less is prison. But outside of that, like a hospital, where else would you rather be less while tripping out?
Totally. And that's what we were trying to tell this guy.
There was this guy that he worked for, I don't know, but he I don't remember actually who he was, but he had a bunch of acid on him and he got into a car accident. Acid, yes, acid, as I pronounce it.
Acid.
My favorite way. And he got into a
car
accident.
He smears it all over his ass. That's how he gets high.
He got into a car accident, and he was really messed up, so he decided the best thing to do would be to swallow it. And then, later on, they were, taking glass out of his eye in the hospital.
Well, we tried to say, talk this kid down from going to the hospital, and he wanted to go, so we drove up and just threw him out of the car right in front of the emergency room and just sped off.
You sure you didn't see a movie? Because that sounds like a scene from
Rules
a movie.
Of Attraction, I think, happened in that show.
Totally just sped off.
And that was near death, though, because you sped really fast away from the emergency room, and you were tripping at the same time. So you must have died.
There was a no-speeding zone. It was a no-speeding zone.
They were going 36 in a 30.
Plus sick people everywhere.
Oh, God, they totally could have gotten
coughing and stuff,
Awesome. It's Best in Joe, bestinjoeradio.com. Here and here, a stock thing you do with your ears. Place to be, hang in, whatnot. You want to be a part, you can. 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger, Pal Talk, heroestalk.com, all that great, terrific stuff. Sorry, that was my little moment where I just vomited on the mic. I figure since Brian's not here, I'm going to pick up the slack for all the vomiting on the microphone tonight.
Sounded like a near-death experience.
I really almost died. But speaking of death, I want to talk about something, and I'm kind of traipsing lightly around this topic because this is something I've been wanting to bring up but didn't know exactly how to do this. And I mean this with the utmost respect as I bring this up. A friend of ours, a good buddy of ours, had a death in the family a few weeks back. And his mother passed away right around Christmas time. And the ironic, crazy thing about it is it was 3 days after Best in Show talked about your family dying. And he was listening to the show. And 3 days later, his mom died. And I just found that to be just such an odd, crazy thing that I don't want to talk, at length about people's family dying and stuff, whatever. Bad stuff happens to people all the time, and it's a shame. But it just felt so weird and jinxy or ironic, for lack of anything else, that this dude was listening to the show and 2 days later, Monday, Thursday, 2 days later, his mom died. It was just exciting, happy stuff.
Do you feel like Nostradamus? Do you feel like you have a bit of a power?
And it made me think, it's strange to say, it made me think back to predicting many years ago. I predicted that Barbaro was going to win the Triple Crown. And it was the same type of thing that we talked about something on the show, and Wait, then that horse died. Actually, that, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. But it was similar. It was similar because there was death in both stories. Mm-hmm. You know, and actually, it's very similar to your past story because it was near death. So I think it's all kind of the same thing. We tied it all together.
Well, what happened? What are the?
Yeah, we're not.
Can't talk specifically.
We're not going to talk specifically about this friend's you know about the issues that happened. But it was a beat deal.
Sucks.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and it's a shame. It's a shame, but, you know, such is life. Such is life and death, unfortunately. The thing, though, after the fact, though, is going to his mom's wake after the fact, because it's been, like, wake after wake for me for the past couple months, and I seem to keep having the same thing at every wake, is I find some cute girls at the wake that I find myself staring at. And I'm curious if that's really... Not the right thing to be doing at a wake. Is that an inappropriate place to be doing something like that?
Yes, I say yes.
You should if you're of no relation to them, because I mean this is my friend's family. I didn't know any of these people in his family.
You shouldn't be trying to pick up girls.
No. Well, first of all, I'm married. I'm not trying to pick up anybody. I was just admiring the beauty of some of these young ladies at the place, and I might have actually said this to our friend. You know, as he's coming over, he's like, hey, how you doing, man? How
what,
you holding?
His wake?
No, I didn't talk to him at his wake, because he's alive still.
No, but at his family member's wake.
Yes, at his mom's wake.
I almost see that being more appropriate than saying it to anyone else.
Mark Doc points it out in the talking room. Wake babes are hot, you know?
I almost see saying it to him being more appropriate than saying it to anyone else. Because there's
God! Wake babes are hot. They stay in little mournful groups. It really is true. That's kind of sexy. But... as a form of levity, you're saying to try and lighten
mood. Yeah,
with
yeah, yeah. But like saying it to someone else, like, yo, you see that? You
know? Oh yeah, dude. I wasn't trying to lighten any moods. I was just like, wow, she looks good. He came over, and I was just like, bro, remember? I'll come up with a name. Remember Frederica? Because I can't think of a name because I'm not going to actually say the person's name. But wow, man. Frederica came over to me. You know what she said? She said, I look good.
Hi, Chris. This is Frederica.
Hi, Fred. Bro, she said I look good. You know what that means? And his response was, yeah, she's lying to you. I was like, yeah, that's true, but still, you think I can get some? He's like, nah, definitely not.
See, the thing is, you're not a good actor, so if you're thinking it in your head and looking at a chick, on your facial expression is definitely like some weird guy, lustful look in your eye, I bet.
Yeah, totally. Was the fact that I was masturbating, would that have thrown the story off? Would that make it a little bit weird?
A little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. You know, I thought a couple of attractive girls. And I thought it was complimentary to him because we talked about this one girl, and I was like, yeah, you know, man, dude, you got a lot of hot cousins. You should, you know, I'm proud of you.
That's all he wants to hear.
You know, your cousin. It's amazing that someone so ugly has such attractive cousins. I'm proud of you, bro.
So you should spank it before you go to a wake, so you don't have those thoughts.
That's like, standard, though.
Like, you know, like, right? The wake. Basically, as soon as someone tells me someone died, I just start masturbating instantly. I start spanking.
Should I get it all out of your system now? Because you know these things are going to come up, the wake, the funeral.
A wake is like going out with the girl for the first time when you know you're going to get laid. You know, you spank it before you get laid the first time.
Exactly.
It's the same thing as going to all a wake right. for you.
So that's what I'm going to do. It's not like that these are my stomping grounds. It's not like I'm known to be hooking up with chicks or trying to. It's just like I noticed... At this guy's, this is one of the first wakes that I was at that was not family, and I wasn't totally destroyed, broken up. Because, I mean, like, mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I very nice woman and everything, but it's not like I was very, very close with her. Any other friend, any other non-family wake, I'd be like, bawling like a little faggot the entire time. Mm-hmm. Like, this time I was, it was just like I was kind of like hanging, and it was just like, and I'm noticing like, hey, she's dressed kind of nice, slimming black dress, looks kind of good, stuff like that the whole time. So maybe that's, and I don't know, I guess it's inappropriate. That's why I'm glad I got you guys. I just wanted to ask, what I'm supposed to be doing.
Little bit inappropriate, Keith. You
get any numbers?
Yeah, obviously. Of the funeral
hall. Sorry, digits? Do you get any digits?
Yes.
Like fingers?
Yes, I cut the finger off of a corpse in the next room because there was some good jewelry on it. There was a nice ring I needed.
If you were single, Chris, do you think you would troll the wake circuit for girls?
Circuit! You wouldn't even have to, it wouldn't have to be a circuit. You could hit the same funeral home because it's always new customers coming in.
Totally.
Week in, week out.
But you don't want to be known
fresh
by...
meat. Constant fresh meat. Constant fresh meat there to see the old meat.
So, come here often?
It's Chris in the Weight Crashers.
Ah, I like the idea. I like the idea of it. I think you got something. I think you got something. I think it's very sexy. I thought it was nice. I thought I was being complimentary to these young ladies, and I thought I was being helpful to my friend, letting him know that his family was attractive.
See, I think at a wedding, it'll go a little bit more.
But that's supposed to happen at a wedding. Like, people are supposed to be hooking up at weddings.
Even at a baptism, I could see you doing it. Not at a wake. At a baptism, I could be like, hey, look at that.
All right. Again,
you got a little water on you.
A baptism. I mean, that's not in samba. He should be able to masturbate in the open at the baptism.
Vanessa's agreeing. Wakes are probably good for hooking up. Because it's sad people. You know, you want to give them a little bit of joy. Hey, I got something for you. How you doing, baby? You know? It's very exciting. Why do I talk like this when I'm hooking up? Model.
But the fact that they're sad, isn't it like the same if they're like drunk? Don't you think they're not in the right state of mind?
Right.
Oh, you would hook up with drunk girls?
Yes.
Really?
I don't think I've hooked up with someone who wasn't drunk. Look at me. Look at me. How have I ever hooked up with anyone?
You horrible human.
Yeah. No, I'm just, I'm not dropping roofies in people's drinks, okay. But I'm saying that if a girl's a little bit, two sheets to the wind, hey, shame on you.
Well, the votes are coming in. I set up a poll on the Hear Us Talk. First vote, yes, Chris is a pervert.
Okay. Well,
so the votes are coming in. So on the Hear Us Talk.
What about this topic, though?
I'm not perverted. I didn't say I was like banging the dead. I was saying is it appropriate or inappropriate to find people attractive in a funeral home? They're dressed nice.
Will you go back to that memory?
Will I go back to that funeral home?
If you're masturbating one day, will you go back to that memory? You won't think of that memory.
No.
Okay. That would be creepy.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I'd like to say that I would, but I wouldn't. Because there was nothing that revealing there. So
okay.
I'd have to invent my own history. What about
use someone that you saw there? Or can you take the girl out of the funeral home, but you can't take the funeral home out of the girl?
No. You could definitely take the girl out of the funeral home. No problem. No problem. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember him that much. Although it is a few weeks back, and I'm still remembering that one. Hey, oh, you look great. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
What are you doing?
Not so bad yourself. Oh, so romantic. I will say, on a serious note, after leaving the funeral home, I had a heart, what's one of those moments? Like heart-touching?
Heartfelt,
that's it. A heartfelt moment. I called my mom while I was on the way home, and I said, hey, Ma, just so you know where I am right now. She's like, yeah, yeah. And it's like, I'm not really all that sensitive or emotional of a person, and you know that. All I'm going to say is this. Do me a favor. Don't die. She said, thanks. I'll try not to. And that was my heartfelt moment with my mom.
That was nice.
Bringing people together. And then I told her, Ma, you should have seen this girl that was just there. Maron.
I can't believe you have to say, you can't say to your mom, Ma, I love you. You have to say, Mom, don't die.
No, of course not. Dude, I'm not into emotions and things like that with my wife and my kid, but that's it.
Really? Not your mom? You haven't said?
Nah.
When was the last time you said I love you?
I couldn't tell you. Having a clue. My mom always insists on trying to kiss me, and I put the fingers up like it's the cross, like I'm trying to get away from me. Like, no, I want nothing to do with that.
Your dad, too, even after the heart attack, you didn't say I love you, Dad?
No, I kiss my dad. I kiss my dad, but I don't tell him I love him.
Oh, you don't tell him you love him?
No. Come on. What am I, a girl?
What, is he gay?
No, but like, this is weird.
I love you.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, come on. What do you mean? You say, you tell your mom that you love her?
Mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom actually says like tags love you onto every every goodbye, every email, text message, phone call. You know, like that's just like a goodbye thing, like especially like with her, like with my grandmother. But like I've definitely never said, I don't think I've ever told my dad I love you. Call Mom.
Really?
No. My dad doesn't answer the phone.
I'm not big on the love yous, but I'll drop an I love you bomb every once in a while. You gotta. You have to. That's a near-death experience right there, dropping one of those. You got to. If you don't tell your parents that you love them, Chris, you're not a good son. Come on.
Okay, I'm not a good son. I'll take that. I'll take it. No problem. What do you want me to tell you? For the record, it's being called a fag by your brother because I kissed my dad. I don't regularly kiss my dad. He had a heart attack, so I kissed him once.
Did you put his hands on his cheeks and you gave him like one of those?
I'm not a fag. I'm half Italian. We kiss on the guys kiss on the cheeks all the time.
You give him the double kiss, like the kiss on each cheek?
No. I'm not at a fashion show. It's not really a kiss. What you do is you press your cheek up against theirs and you make the kissing sound while you're shaking hands. How you doing?
Okay.
That's how men kiss. Come here, bro. Let me kiss you. I'll show you how men kiss.
Yeah, that's kind of big in my family / some friends, the old
guys.
bro hug kiss thing.
You do that? You're big on that? Everybody?
There's a few people, but you have to, you can't just go up to anybody, you know? You have to have that understanding between you.
The nice pat on the back.
Understanding. First time I'm meeting any Italian, I'm going to kiss him. I'm going right in. Open mouth the whole way. I'm going for the gusto.
You have a vowel on the end of your name? Bring it in.
Exactly.
Bring it in, bro.
I know why. I can sometimes bring it in, according to the story.
It's true. By the way, I hope that there actually is a poll, as is being suggested by Ryan in Idaho, where people are voting on awful tattoos, on my awful tattoos. I can't wait for that big poll to come.
Well, what's the awfulest?
I don't know. I guess what's the awfulest? I think I got some pretty hot tattoos. I don't want to say. But
the guy on your shoulder blade has to be the most.
Hey, well, I was 16. Yeah. I was a kid. It was my first dumb demon that I got on my back. Exactly. What am I going to do?
The first.
Exactly.
You didn't learn your lesson after the first one.
What? No, it got better from there. Then I got my second one, which was even dumber. But whatever. It's all fun. There's silly pictures you draw on yourself, and you have a lot of fun with them. It's good.
Just don't go to any more wakes, please.
I'll try. Well, I'll do what I can. The next wake that I try and go to, if you're lucky, will be my own.
Nice. If it's surgery, it'll be $20 richer, too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens. We'll see what happens with that. Yeah, speaking of that, I just want to point out today was the day I was supposed to find out the results of my blood work from my doctor. And you can tell that I've prefaced the story by saying supposed to. As is evidenced by my jovial mood that I don't know exactly what's wrong with me, so I'm ignoring everything.
They have to call in some doctors from Sweden now.
Yeah. Apparently, I know we explained that Giggs shoveled earlier. Apparently, the 0.2 inches of snow that we got on Staten Island kept my doctor from making it into the office, so there was no one there to tell me what the results of my test were. And they took my number down and promptly never called me back. Yeah. So I just sat home for a couple hours. That's some Staten Island class. It's really fantastic. So I still don't know what's wrong with me.
Do you believe him that he wasn't in the office, or do you think he's just waiting to tell you bad news or something?
No. I called at 2:00 when he was supposed to come in. I called at 2:00 and they said I called at like 2:15 and said he hasn't gotten in yet. I'm like, all right, well, what's your name? I gave my name, my number, all right. And then I didn't get a call back. And after an hour and a half, I called back into the office, before 4:00. The office of so-and-so is closed. So they closed in the middle of the day because of the snow, because of the blizzard.
Oh, God.
There was almost a half an inch of snow. Like, it was terrifying. You know, Giggs shoveled his house with a broom, you know? I mean, like that's how bad it was here. But these people, they went home, and I'm sitting not knowing if I have liver cancer or not.
Yeah, they shouldn't make you wait for that type of thing. I can't believe that. They'll make you wait. You know, you're in suspense. You could be dying, for all you know. They shouldn't make you wait.
Sorry, I'm giggling at it's being suggested and the chair was being asked by a Ustreamer if I gave it to my dad family style in reference to the kissing that I did with my dad. Are you guys familiar with what family style is?
It's not the cheek thing?
Family style has nothing to do with kissing. There's actually a TV show, it's called like Prison Life. I don't know what channel it's on, like A&E or Bravo or something like that. And one of my friends was watching it. You know, a couple of my friends watched it, and they're kind of got obsessed with this one particular character, who explained the way that he initiates people when they're coming into prison. It was like Prison Life, like San Quentin or something like that. And this guy explains that when a new guy comes in, he gives it to him family style to break him in. You guys know what family style is when we're talking about man-on-man rape? My favorite rape of all, which, by the way.
See, I thought we were talking about meals that when I sat down, everybody would get like a big
bowl
of pasta.
Well, of course. And that's the best thing. The best thing is whenever this group of friends goes to a restaurant and they order food and you get Chinese, like, oh, do you want having a particular plate or you just want to put it in the middle family style? All these idiots just start giggling like morons, like, yeah, we'll take a family style. Ah, you know, like it's the funniest thing in the world because of this show. Family style is when a guy does it with another guy, missionary, first of all, and grabs him by the face and forces him to stare into his eyes while he does it. This guy said on the show, I give it to him family style, and then explained that this is what family style is. Missionary and holding his face and forcing him to look into his eyes. Like it's romance. It's a real serious, like, sensual moment.
That is a near-death experience if I've ever heard one. Oh, my God. Just kill me. Just kill me.
Of course. Of course. You don't. I'll be honest with you, whether it's family style or if you bent me over something, I'm really not looking forward to it no matter what.
Well, no guy can make me open my eyes and stare into their eyes.
If he's holding you by the foot, come here. Come here. Come here. I really want to grab you right now and give it to you family style.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm slightly attracted to you right now.
Yes. Well, see, no. See, that's not nice. No, then it defeats the purpose. The whole point is, and the guy explains, like, yeah, I'm not gay or anything. I'm doing it to break them, to make this the most horrific experience of their life, that they will always remember me, that I'm the king of this place. I gave it to them family style.
And the guy's missionary, too. Missionary style, belly to belly.
Well, balls to belly, probably, based on the way he's doing it.
That is.
I mean, it's romantic. It's gorgeous, and I think it's fantastic. I fantasize maybe a little bit that if I was ever in prison that I would get it family style, that I would be on the receiving end of it, and I would sit there, and my ears would just be filled with lovely, lovely music as it happened. Hey, family! Oh, no, I'm not going to do a song. Hi, Vanessa.
Family style. This is a totally made-up thing.
Dude, it was on this TV show. If it's on TV, it's got to be real, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
I know that friends of mine said they heard it on a TV show, and I'm going to stick with it for the rest of my life. It's my new favorite thing. I only heard about it last week, and it's my favorite thing ever.
Your sons are dumb.
Well, obviously. Yeah, they're friends with me, obviously.
So we're having a little inauguration day tomorrow. Is everybody excited?
Why? What are we supposed to be excited about?
New president.
Okay, and this is, in all honesty, I mean, it's nice, but like, how's it really going to change my life tomorrow?
It's going to be nonstop media coverage, and you won't be able to escape it. That's how it's going to change your life tomorrow.
Man, does that mean the Hero Stock Forum is going to go down? Because that's really where my media coverage it revolves around. I just spend a lot of time in Radio Bronze.
People have been requested to not text as much because the cell phone companies believe that their systems will be overloaded. So your text messages unrelated to Inauguration Day may not go through.
No.
That will impact you.
Oh. That's total BS now.
Oh,
now I'm mad.
You're allowed to text as much as you want.
I'm changing my vote.
Okay. You're allowed to text as much as you want as long as you're talking about Obama, but anything that's not about Obama, you can't text.
They're scanning text messages that don't have the word Obama and just immediately deleting them.
You mean I can't get my text from Keith tomorrow?
Apparently not.
I'll just call you Barack.
Yeah, so I mean,
I thought I would check in with our friends, the white supremacists, to see how they're handling the whole, like, first African-American president thing. And according to the internet, they're not really fans.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, you called into the show. I thought we were about to talk about it now. No, so what'd you find on the World Wide Web?
Well, the AryanNations.com has an online clock ticking down the hours, and there's flames behind it, and it's 7 hours until the abomination. Only in like classic white supremacist style, the spelling they used for the cute little play on the name catchphrase is wrong and
nice.
Makes no sense. Yeah, it's like it says the abomination, but they left out the A, so it just says the abomination. Like it just doesn't. Yeah.
I mean, it's witty.
Spelling errors are rampant
it's witty
on white power websites. I don't know if you guys have checked them out.
I mean, I personally try and spend as much time as I can on as many white power websites as I can. But no, I didn't notice any of the spelling errors. I'm also not too bright, though, so what do I know?
Yeah, and then I tried to call the Aryan Update 24-hour hotline because I figured they might have some like good advice for tomorrow, and the number's down. So there's no, like, right now, like, when a racist might need, like, info the most, on how to handle tomorrow, there's nothing for them.
But again, which is shocking. You would think that support would be out there for them, some sort of outreach to take care of things. But in all honesty, what's really going to affect the common man about this? The common white man, or any man for that matter? Like, it's really like, okay, it's a new president. Maybe there'll be some sort of policies that'll be great at some point. But like, tomorrow's not happening. Tomorrow he's like moving his furniture in, you know? Like, he's deciding what side of the room to put the bed on. Like, it's not like anything's going to happen tomorrow.
I don't know. My father sent me a lot of anti-Obama emails, and he seemed to think that things were really going to go bad as of tomorrow.
That's it?
As of tomorrow. Like, yeah. I heard the sun is actually going to explode tomorrow, I think.
I'm going to tell you, Annie told me that the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar. I'm just saying.
He was pretty serious about it. I don't know. I scanned through them. I'm not even really sure what the... Something to do with socialism and... I don't know.
Well, hang out. Well, social guys. Stuff. What are you going to do? I like wake up tomorrow and just go outside and like the streets are burning, blood filling the streets. It's just going to be madness. No, it's just going to be like regular. Like
flipping over cars, fires and garbage cans.
I hope that I'm strong enough to flip over a car. I hope that Obama being president gives me the strength of 10 men that I can flip cars now. I'll be so excited. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have to go to work and it's going to suck. I'm going to be there. It's going to be rotten. You know what? I take the whole thing back. I take it back. I'm unbelievably thrilled about the whole thing. I'm not against the whole thing. I'm psyched about it. Hold on a second here. Let me show. I'm going to fly my flag just so everyone knows what I'm talking about. And that was flag with an L in it.
Chris is taking off his shirt right now. And I can't see what it says.
Barack Obama t-shirt. Whoa. Look at that.
I got my Barack t-shirt on. I'm ready to go. He's my man. I'm psyched. Tomorrow's going to be great. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to suddenly be rich. There's going to be firecrackers in my pants. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. Everything's going to be great. See, it's like I said, it's the same way. Like, just as much as like, oh God, you know, poor white supremacists, what's going to go wrong now that a half black is running the country for you tomorrow? Same thing for me. As much as I love, you know, as I may be with it, and I think it's a fantastic thing, it's not like all of a sudden, like, every meal's going to taste like cotton candy to me. All of a sudden, my liver's going to shrink. It's not like it's going to be the greatest day in the world for me. It's just, it's any other day.
Like, what does a racist person need to do to, get ready for this inauguration? Like, there's a real hotline, Vanessa, where people call up and
with it. That hotline's 877-744-6405.
Like, what does a racist think? Like, tomorrow he's going to wake up black? Like, you know, skin's going to be a different color? You know, what is a racist really... really worried about.
But that's what I'm saying. Either way, what could you be so worried about, or what could you be so thrilled about for tomorrow? Like, all right, whatever. We're going to hang out. You're going to go to work the same way. You're going to, you know.
No, man. It's change. You're going to don't have to pay your mortgage.
I understand.
You don't have
to pay
things.
Right.
You know, it's, you're going to get everything for free, no?
Malt liquor just appeared in my fridge. Oh, I'm a racist.
See, you really are.
You know what? That is crazy to me that they have a hotline.
Well, you got to know. You got to know how to handle things. How are you going to move forward?
You think he's going to get shot?
Oh, I don't want to say it on the air, but I'll be pretty surprised if there are not multiple attempts on his life. I will be very disappointed in the human race if that is the case, mm-hmm. but I'll be pretty surprised.
What, that the attempts, there was multiple attempts and they didn't get him the first time, or?
No, come on.
I was just wanting to clarify.
I'll be quite surprised. I mean, there were people planning, they were plotting to kill him before he even got to this point. You know,
it was like, you know, 2 18-year-old retards.
Right, and those 2 18-year-old retards got caught. But you're going to tell me that there aren't going to be multiple people that are again. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I would be quite shocked if multiple people don't make attempts.
There's supposed to be the security tomorrow is supposed to be far beyond, but it's also they're expecting a much bigger turnout than any other presidential inauguration. Mm-hmm. So the security is pretty serious, intense.
By the way, it's being pointed out in the Pal Talk room by P Roll. Shh, the feds are going to be at the door. Shh, which is a good point. And my I guess by Niagara Diver, which according to Filipinos is Niagara, but Niagara Driver, Diver says that multiple people try and kill any president. It comes with the territory, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, I heard there's going to be like 38,000 security people in a 3-mile radius, and I guess the turnout. There's I don't know about you, but I have to work tomorrow. But
why wouldn't you? It's Tuesday.
Well, I don't know where this turnout's coming from. People that don't work. But I have to work tomorrow, so I cannot make the inauguration.
Vanessa, what do you think? You think there'll be an attempt on his life within the year or something like that? That'll be...
I don't think there's going to be any more hoopla about it than there is about any president.
Really?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Big
whoop. I think that's just that is, like Niagara Diver said, that's just part of... You know, that's part of the presidency, is that there's going to be some kooky yahoo that talks about assassination. So there's going to be kooky yahoos, and they're going to have an agenda. They're going to say that it has something to do with his race. But, you know, if it wasn't this guy, it'd be somebody else or some kooks we're going to try to kill.
I'm going to go on record as saying I'm going to bet there's a few more kooks that come out of the woodwork with this one.
Definitely.
The thing is, you know what, they might not be...
Well, I don't think they're very together, actually, from what I'm gathering. Like, most of the white supremacist serious agenda websites haven't even been updated since, like, June 2008. So I just don't think they're all that motivated.
Well, it doesn't have to be...
talking about hateful stuff, but...
I was going to say, like, an assassination...
A plot in motion? That's a lot of work.
But an assassination attempt doesn't have to be, like, 70 people doing one thing. I mean, like, three guys doing it. But if there are, like, 20 different collections of three guys doing it, it's, you know, it's... Although, don't get me wrong, those could be snuffed out pretty quietly, too, then we might not even hear about half of them.
Why are they not updated? They're still trying to end Jesse Jackson's run for president.
They're so pissed. They're so pissed about him. Yeah, I mean, that's I'll be proud if nothing happens, if nothing crazy, or if no one tries anything. But I'll be stunned if there aren't more attempts on this guy's life than any other president that I've known.
It's because America doesn't like change, and this guy doesn't look like the
change
the other
was
president.
His thing. That was his thing. Is change, so they don't like change.
He would have to actually get shot for it to be like a worse situation than any other president that you've known. I mean, we lived in a time when Ronald Reagan was shot.
Right on.
But do you think he's going to be shot?
I think that I think multiple people are going to try and shoot him.
Or blow him up. He'll get blowed up.
His spot? I can't believe someone's going to try and blow up Obama's spot. I can't even believe this.
I disagree.
Really? You don't
think? I don't think. I think there's people that will form together to attempt, but I don't think anyone will ever get near him.
Man, I can't believe, by the way, Norm Smile is pointing out in the chat room that I am the worst at predicting things ever, so Obama has nothing to worry about, that Gene Dixon laughs at me. I totally forgot that everything I predict never goes right. And anything I've ever said
Gene Dixon is in her house somewhere going, Chris. She laughs at you.
What a little jerk. Ooh, yeah, well, so, all right, Obama's safe, I guess. Good for him. I really do think it's good for him. I don't want that to come off wrong. I think it's great. I'm mad that my prognosticating skills are being challenged and I don't know, basically dismissed. Because
are you guys gonna watch? Are you gonna watch inauguration?
What time is it?
I don't know.
No, I mean right now.
Sure. Oh, 9:14.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna be at work. I'm gonna be working during the whole thing. It happens in, like, the middle of the day, right? Like 1 o'clock or so, 12 o'clock, something like that. Yeah, I might be at lunch at that time, and I might be able to catch it at the TV at the bar, but I don't go to the
bar
anymore.
I'm sure you can catch it on the computer, stream it, you know.
It starts at, what, 12, Vanessa?
I don't know, honestly.
I think it starts at 12.
They tend to wake up a little later, maybe around 1, 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't...
Aren't inaugurations boring no matter who's getting sworn in?
See, I was thinking that it was going to be huge, that he was. I signed something on Facebook to get Bad Brains to play. So I think it's really going to be awesome. I signed something for Bad Brains, and I signed something else to get Parliament to play. So it's really going to be a good, like, it's going to be an awesome show. Lots of great bands are playing. It's going to be fantastic.
No, they had the inauguration, already. Yeah. Beyonce sang the Star Spangled Banner or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. You two already played. I think that all went down on, like, Sunday. They did
but
that whole concert.
No. That was football. Was what that
was. Oh, no, they did some inauguration party, like pre-party.
and they had like a couple of bands played, like the Jonas Brothers played, and Bruce Springsteen was playing "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land." That was a snooze.
You get Bruce Springsteen to come play. Don't get me wrong, not that I'm a Springsteen fan. That's what you want him to play? Like, you're not going to tell him, dude, do "Dancing in the Dark," do "Born to Run."
Well, he came to "Born in the USA" because, you know, Barack wasn't born in the USA.
He wasn't?
No, he's born in Hawaii. You have to be born in the USA.
Born white?
But born in Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii.
You have to be born in the USA to be president.
Yeah, exactly.
There was something.
Are we going to be Hawaii bashing again? One week without Hawaii bashing.
These guys have some pretty strong feelings.
You guys are so mainland centric. It's horrible.
Not me, because I'm big into Alaska. It's just Hawaii that I hate.
Why, Vanessa, are you going to check this out tomorrow?
I got to work, too. I mean, I'll probably turn on the television during the hours that I'm not working, and I will watch some coverage, and I'll be playing World of Warcraft while it happens, so it won't have my full attention.
Yeah, why?
Kind of like Best in Show.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Exactly.
Is most of America not working tomorrow? Why would they have this big thing at noon when everyone's at work? Why wouldn't they have it like 8 o'clock or, 6 o'clock when people can actually watch it? Are most of the people watching it not working? I guess
people took the day off.
Was that racist hotline?
Yeah, maybe it's the fact that it is a historic day. The fact that that we are getting an African American president, although only half an African American president. Maybe it's
people take the day off. I'm assuming just like today, it's like an optional holiday for certain people. Like my job, I had to work today. My company was not closed, but there were selected individuals that felt the need to take it off, to extend their weekend, and maybe celebrate into tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah, today I was off. I was just off. I had the day off. It wasn't a...
Wasn't feeling good, were you?
Yes, that was it. I was a little bit nauseous. A little bit nauseous. No, it was... today's a holiday. It's a national holiday.
Absolutely.
Guy had a mustache. It deserves to be recognized. It's a terrific day. I don't think there's... I don't want to be trying to construe it as being racist, because we're not that much. I don't think it's appropriate for us to make a joke out of anything like that.
Is Arizona celebrating Martin Luther King Day? Because I know back in the day they were.
Now they do. I think they were forced to now to identify it, and especially now that they're in the Super Bowl. They have to recognize it, because you can't be the Super Bowl champion without recognizing Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, that was the weird thing. They don't do daylight savings time either in Arizona.
They're the one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Sticklers.
So everybody, like, what time is it? Like, when everybody else changes time, they legitimately lose and gain hours every time? That's really odd. Yeah, I didn't even know that totally existed.
They just stay the same.
Oh, good for them. Sticking to their guns.
No farms.
Yeah, they're going to lose the Super Bowl, though.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they'll lose.
I don't think there's a chance in the world. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to do, like, a sports talk show, but the Pittsburgh Steelers are the new Dallas Cowboys. That everybody in the world loves the Pittsburgh Steelers now. They're their favorite team ever. And don't get me wrong, we've got some friends that aren't from Pittsburgh that have loved them for a long time, and sure, they're your team, and I understand. It just seems that everybody on the planet loves the Pittsburgh Steelers now, shut up.
So you think the Cardinals are going to win?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
So call your bookie. Get Pittsburgh going.
I want the Cardinals to win because it'll be the second time in 3 years that like a 500 Cardinals team won a major championship. Like the St. Louis Cardinals were like 82-80 and they won the World Series, and then now the Arizona Cardinals.
Hey, Vanessa, are you into football at all? Does this Super Bowl interest you at all?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
No.
Sports.
Redskins, Vanessa.
I know that January is a time when this event happens, sort of. But my only frame of reference on that is that I was taken on a date, and we flew from Los Angeles to Phoenix on this date, and coming back, the Super Bowl was going on, I guess, because the airport bar was full of Super Bowling, and I remember that it was January.
You're legitimately telling me that is your only frame of reference for the Super Bowl? Is that
otherwise
once...
I would have no idea what month it is. I really have no idea what month the World Series happens in, except for I'm aware of it in the month it happens because everybody's talking about it. But if you just ask me now, I don't know. In the fall, sometime.
I mean, it is a fall classic, so yes, it isn't
I'm
fall.
Asking.
You hear about it at the water cooler, right?
I don't know.
It's shocking to me that, I mean, there are certain things that you would think you would just know. You would think you would just know, but I guess not. I guess if you're not a sports fan, I guess it's really not a big deal. It just seems like the same way we're talking about the, you know, Obama Nation, that everything is like the media blitz and Obama this and Obama that, every place in the world. When it comes to the Super Bowl, like everything in the world talks about the Super Bowl right before it's happening. And the big game. What are you going to do for the big game? Rent your TV. Here's the big game bag of Doritos that you can get. Hey, look, now you can get a keg of Coors Light. It's big game style, shape of football. Everything is about it, so you would think you would know. But again, I guess you only know, like you said, when it's happening right
yeah,
in front of
like
you.
I'm aware right now because you guys are all pitching tantrums about it. You know, I don't mean you guys specific. I mean you guys the general, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm pitching
the
a tantrum.
Collective, you guys.
The general was talking about it?
Yeah, I'm pitching a tantrum.
So I know about it now, but I don't know about it. I don't know about it in general. Ask me in July when the Super Bowl is, and I'll be like,
later. It's sometime. Later. Sometime after.
I don't even know who's in it. I'm honestly not sure who's in it. I hear the word Steelers and something about Arizona, and I don't even know who's going.
It's the Pittsburgh Football Steelers versus the Arizona Football Cardinals that will be playing in the football contest known as the big game across the world to others, the Super Bowl. Wow, was that a long way to go for a joke? Wow.
So Vanessa, I was meaning to ask you, how is your little wizard? What'd you get him for his birthday?
It's coming up in a couple days.
Oh, I thought it passed.
I haven't got him anything yet.
Yeah, what are you thinking about getting him?
Some stuff in game.
Some stuff in game?
Yeah, she's gonna buy him like she's gonna get him like an 800 gold.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, okay, like that. I thought you meant like you were going to get him an item, like you were going to get him like a purple world drop or something.
Yeah, like the mammoth mining bag, you know, like 32 slots for his profession.
See, that's really romantic.
Yeah, I already got that. I've been collecting some things.
That's pretty romantic. If I had a chick that was really just going to get me some nice, nice in-game gifts like that. Like, don't get me wrong, 6 months of the game, like, that's something that you give somebody on Earth about the game. But to actually get gifts within the game, I think it's very romantic.
You know, no little shows on Skype?
I'm going to do that, too.
No shows on Skype? No?
No.
You're against it. We talked you out of it.
No, I don't think it's our style.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So knowing that you guys aren't talking to each other or not seeing each other at all other than on cam during game time, there's no primal urges being satisfied other than knowing that, all right, I'll be thinking about you later when I rub one out, and that's what you're left doing, that's it?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know what he's doing when he's not on the phone with me, but he's not doing it in front of me.
But he's not addressing it? He's not like blatantly saying like, all right, I'll rub one out to you later or anything like that?
How hot and sexy and talk.
All right, here's a question, and I'm not going to say that it's related to this person specifically, but just here's a random question about guys, and you guys are kind of my frame of reference, even though I know you're all weird. But so about guys. If a guy says that he's not really into masturbating, he's lying or what?
Lying.
So the Canadian guy says he's not into masturbating.
No matter what?
Lying.
No, I didn't say he said that.
Lying.
I've heard it a few times in my life from guys that's just not their thing. Like, they're just not into it.
Then they're liars.
Vanessa, he's lying.
You'd be backed up. You'd be backed up if that's okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying
you'd be hitting on chicks that wait.
I know plenty of chicks don't do it. I know that they don't.
Yeah, but you guys are different. You're wired different. Your plumbing is set up. From what I understand, if I ever see a girl naked, I'll understand that. I think that your parts are totally different. You don't need it. the same way that we need it. You know, and I'm telling you that there ain't a guy on the planet who doesn't like masturbating. Don't get me wrong. There may be a certain amount of shame about it. There may be a certain sense of disappointment knowing that this is the only way that you're getting your rocks off. But it's not to say that guys don't enjoy doing it. Once you get, you know, once you're in that zone, there's nothing, you know, what's going to be better? It's anybody who says they don't like it is a liar. Not saying that I've never had a dry spell. Not saying that I've ever said, you know what? I don't need to do this. Not saying even as recently as a couple of months ago, I remember talking to Keith like, dude, it's been like a month and a half that I haven't, you know,
wow.
I haven't taken care of myself. You guys are really curious about the phone conversations me and Keith have now, aren't you? Bro, I haven't jacked it in so long.
But you honestly think that, I don't honestly think that that's true, that like, I think you're falling into some sort of, buying into some sort of a myth, Chris.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm buying into some sort of a myth when I'm in the bathroom with tears in my eyes just pawing at myself.
No,
by the way, our buddy the Hutch is pointing out in the Heroes Talk Room, 90% of guys jerk it, 10% lie. And that's it. And that's the fact of that.
Everyone, well, he may not need to jerk off if he's getting a lot of tail, you know.
There's not,
yeah, I mean, technically, the ones that I hear, I don't need to. How many guys did you ever hear, you know, I don't need to do that. I can, you know, just, I can get the real to, why do I need to do that? I mean, that's what I've heard before. Mm-hmm. I've heard that angle of it.
Well, you wake up first thing in the morning, you're going to tell me if you're a single guy living alone and there's no chick at your house that you're not going to rub one out before you jump in the shower before you go to work that day?
Single guy.
How could you function that day? Well, I'm saying, but I'm saying the whole point of what Giggs is saying of like, you know, like, oh, I get it so much all the time. Like, what if that option isn't there? What if there's not mm-hmm. that person there with you to you know, to handle your business?
You got to.
But that's not the myth I'm talking about, though. I think you're buying into some sort of a myth that, like, you know, like, girls don't do that. Not that they don't do that, but, like, you know, they,
I'm not suggesting that girls don't do it. I'm suggesting that girls don't need to the same way that guys do.
They don't have built up, like, literally guys have a physical build up of, you know.
What do you mean? Stuff?
Stuff.
That's not even true.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Sure.
It's not true.
Of course not. You only create enough, you create sperms as sperms are depleted, as it is. And as they disappear, your semens that are there don't need to be, they don't build up. It's not like you got a lot of it. It's the urge that builds up. It's not the actual fluids that build up.
I don't know. I think I disagree there. I think that you have more of a, you know, I don't know.
But does that mean that, like...
How about this? Put your balls on the table. Let's weigh them. Don't jerk for a week. We'll weigh them again next week. I guarantee they're the same.
What do you guys, evaporate?
Does that mean if you go for a year without ejaculating at all, that you can just, like, basically, like, double, like, the Pacific Ocean or something? You think it just won't stop ever?
It's like it's a fire hose you're turning loose. And if you don't even do that, you look like the guys in Johnny Dangerously, like with elephantitis, just like giant things dangling every place. It's insanity.
If I couldn't masturbate for over a year, I would murder somebody, I think. Like, that's how crazy guys get, I think, if you can't let that release.
No, you would just get used to it. You would just, like, if you shut that part of yourself off, you just, you know.
Where's the power button?
It just would stop.
Wish you show me that valve, I will tighten that thing up tomorrow.
Over time, the less you do it, the less you would want to do it.
Hey, guys, you ever hear this? When somebody's getting married, they agree not to have sex the last 3 months from when they get engaged, or, you know, we're not going to have sex the next year, and you can't masturbate, and it's going to be extra special our night of our wedding day. Have you ever heard that one?
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I've heard that
Screw
one.
Screw that. Crazy thing ever heard of my life.
Literally.
Spickle. Only in movies, Gigs. Only in movies.
When me and my wife went to pre-Cana, and the priest told us that we shouldn't have sex.
You started masturbating on the priest.
No, we went home and did it immediately. We went home and had sex immediately.
Yeah, but wasn't that spite? That was spite, right? That was spite sex.
It's not when someone says not to do it.
If you guys actually had balls, you would have showed him. Like, you should have did it right there. She should have just dropped her pants right there. Said, oh, yeah, we're not going to do this, right, Father, you know, Hassan Pfeffer? Here, look what he's got for me. Here, look at this. And Jesus knows all about it, and it doesn't make a difference.
Well, Chris, do you think there is a reason to lie to a girl and say you don't masturbate? Do you think...
Yeah, why would people tell me that?
Exactly.
If it's not... And these aren't even just guys that I've dated. I've just heard this from guys. Like, I'm not saying a large population of guys, but every once in a while, when the subject comes up, a guy will say, yeah, I don't really do that. It's just not my thing. Not to say that they never do, but... that it's not part of their routine.
Oh, I regularly lied about it. I've lied about it to most girls that I dated. Absolutely.
Why?
I don't know. There's a certain and I can't say at this point in my life that I feel this way anymore, but there's definitely a certain amount of shame I think that I've associated with it, that I'm this little creep pawn at my midsection in the bathroom, all sad and alone and stroking, like, you know.
But I'm thinking, if a guy says that, Giggs might be right. He might be a player and always get sex from girls and might not have to do it, or he's lying, or maybe he's one of those 2% that doesn't masturbate. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think it could possibly happen.
You don't think so? Nah. All these religious people that never do it, you know, they're all people.
Dude, the guy who ran that church in Denver, the guy who's like the biggest, like, you know, anti everything that wasn't, you know, exactly what Jesus wanted guy, like, was you know, banging male prostitutes and, you know, crystal meth and sticking his finger in his ass, like everyone does.
He's human.
You know, it doesn't make you bad.
Well, Vanessa, when a guy tells you that they don't do it, what do you think from the girl's perspective? What's going through your head? Liar immediately?
Yeah, what goes through my head immediately is, what's the agenda here? Like, why would someone need to tell me that if it wasn't true? Because I'm not, like, a judgmental person. I wouldn't be like, ew, you do, you know? I'd be like, really? Let me see.
Maybe they want you to feel sorry for them, kind of like, all right, well, then maybe I'll, you know, maybe it's like, hey, I don't do that, so, you know, I'm kind of saving it for you, and, you know, and I don't know. I don't. Maybe there's an angle trying to get with you faster or something.
See, I'm thinking you go that. If that's the angle that you're going with, like, yeah, if you're a weirdo that doesn't do it, you can keep that away from me. I don't need to know anything about what's going on in your warped little wang or brain.
I don't want that thing exploding suddenly when we're sitting there eating dinner.
Exactly. If we're going by Giggs' biology lesson here, that could kill you. if that guy ever gets with you.
Well, Vanessa, what's worse?
It'd probably just be really, really bad sex, right? Like as soon as, you know,
exactly.
Like, you get anywhere new with them, and it's like, blah, like that thing. You'd be like, oh.
Can right. We have to check? Oh, God.
Well, Vanessa, what's worse? I don't masturbate ever, or I masturbate 5 times a day?
5 times a day is weird, I think.
It's weirder than the no masturbating?
Yeah.
So, Vanessa, yeah. You're weird, then. You're a weird chick, because you said...
No, I quit doing that.
Oh, you quit that.
I had taken a really long break, so I was kind of working something out. And now I'm back to normal.
What's normal?
Like, I don't know, a couple times a week.
A couple times a week. 3 or 4 times a week.
Do you think that's... But that's that's not average, though.
Normal.
You think that's normal, or normal behavior in your mind? Like, do you think that's average, that the average chick is doing it twice a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think...
I don't know.
Why, you think that's less?
Get your little poll up.
You think that's less, Chris?
Yeah, my little pole? Come on. That wasn't very nice. All right, so, I'll get the pole up.
Well, Chris, you haven't done it in a month, so I think that's...
Oh, no. In my life, I've gone a month without doing it.
Oh, okay.
It. But this is also, like, a couple of months ago, if you recall, like, as we were going through the shows, I was, like, a crazy maniac, kind of depressed every day, losing my mind. I was in a weird, weird, crazy place, and it had, you know, now that I'm back to normal...
Wait, you did it more or less?
No, I wasn't doing it at all during that time. This was the time when, like, I had my month to month and a half, like, dry spell, whatever it was, that I just didn't do it at all, because I was like, crazy. I was losing my mind.
You would actually complain to me about it.
So what do you mean?
You would actually, yeah, dude, I haven't even jerked off in like... Like, just telling me all sad and matter-of-factly.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, what's normal for you? Vanessa's 2-3 times a week.
Yeah, 2-3 times a day.
2 or 3 times a day.
Right.
Really? Is it 2 or 3 times a day?
Normal. Normal. 2-3 times a day.
See, I'm one maybe 2 times a day. But definitely once.
Yeah, it has to be at least once a day.
Definitely once every day?
Yeah, definitely. And it's good for your...
Is there a routine? Is it like in the shower in the morning or before you go to bed? Mm-hmm. Like, do you factor it into your schedule? Or just at some point you're like, hey, I got to do it?
I get the urge. And when I get the urge, I power up the iMac. Sit down.
I'm not even going to say that there have been times that I've rolled over in the bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning and been like, I could probably run into the computer room right now real quick. My wife will be asleep. I won't have to wake anybody up. Run to the other room. 1, 2, 3. Bing, bing, bing. Run to the bathroom. Clean up like a gentleman. Go to bed. Wake up at 6:30 in the morning. Bing, bing, bing. Take care of things real quick.
Did you? Did you ever do it like while she was sleeping, like next to her?
No, I never did that. No. You do? You do, Keith?
Is no, that your style? I was just curious because I just pictured Chris like sneaking away, and I was thinking like maybe if she's a heavy sleeper, why would he bother?
To even get up?
No, because where are you going to put it?
Yeah, that's true.
Where are you going to put the product when you're done? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you going to, like, in a sock? You know, that's disgusting.
Keith, what's normal for you?
What's that?
What's normal for you? How many times are you doing it a week?
Lately, not a lot, but a week?
Yeah, like in a normal week, what do you think? What are you doing it? Twice,
612 times, somewhere between those.
I don't know. It would always depend, I guess, you know? It would always depend on, like, different times. It could be, you know, like, it could be every day or not every day, you know? Like, it wouldn't be every day, necessarily.
Okay. You know? You're not an everyday type of guy.
I would have to average it out. Why are you one-eyeing me?
Well, you think he's
I'm leaning towards the odd agenda thing, maybe. But then again, you're also, I mean, I'm not going to speak about your relationship, but you're also in the early stages of a relationship right now. So maybe the urge to tug at himself isn't as strong.
Because he's getting it a lot?
I'm not going to say that. That's implying things about what's going on in his relationship. Joining us here on the hottest of all lines on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this? And shut your computer off and listen to me on the phone.
I can't turn my computer off.
But we hear you. Hey, Jenny, what's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Really, you have to mute that. It's so annoying.
Oh, no, but if I turn my computer off, I can't hear you guys. That's not cool.
Well, you can hear us over the phone just for the duration of the call, right?
Oh, that's true.
Fantastic. So what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. I'm glad that you guys are excited about tomorrow. I can't take off myself to watch, but I think I might sneak a break and come watch. But if we look back in history, haven't all the inauguration speeches been in the middle of the day? Like at 11, because I remember hearing you guys kind of complain about the timing of the media coverage of the speech.
No, it's not complaining about the timing. It's just understanding how people could be taking off to do it, people are going to be around for it.
I guess if I don't know. I have to Google that and see what time the speeches have always aired throughout the past four inaugurations. But I generally think they do it during daylight hours, and they're not going to have evening time. But you know, thank God for YouTube. Because people that are working can always just come home.
That's true. I mean, I like the. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that they're. Although I would love a nice evening matinee, like you know, starting nice at 6 o'clock, just as people are getting home. That would be a nice, considerate time to do it instead of doing it
like a double feature.
Well, I'm sure they'll re-air it at some point on one of the major networks, so we'll see it. I mean, everybody will you know get to see it, but we don't need a day off necessarily to tune in. So that's good, but.
I know personally I'm not going to be watching anything. I'm going to be watching my TiVo of the Flight of the Conchords over and over again care about.
Let's take it back to the nature of the conversation before I called in, and let's see how many people are going to be jerking off during the time of the inauguration, you know, because they're just, you know, overly excited and they need some kind of catharsis. People are going to be really excited by this you know historic inauguration.
Well, indeed, Chaz the Dazzle was pointing out in the Heroes Talk Room that I indeed will be jacking it, but that's just because it's going to be at 11 o'clock, as we said.
I think I might be jacking off to it, but not necessarily because I'm you know sexually it excited by the notion of a half African American. Because keep in mind, again, like I was pointing out in the chat room, his mother is white. So he's actually not even fully African-American, you know. But I think it's also, let me just preface this with, I voted for Nader in the past three elections, campaigned for him in 2000, then voted again in 2004. And then I didn't vote for Obama because I live in a blue state, so it was going to Obama anyway. But, I'm kind of excited only because if he's able to do what, you know, he's kind of promised, in his campaign promises, you know, it's kind of an exciting thing for our country, but, you know, we'll see. Everything is, you know, everything's a question mark, so we'll see.
Indeed. Again, like I said, 11 o'clock in the afternoon, obviously, that's the time that I leave my computer and go to the bathroom to, you know, to take care of things anyway. But so I probably will be masturbating during the inauguration, but I'll have no part of it. I'll have no part of watching it.
You're going to inaugurate yourself?
Hey, yes, you have to inaugurate yourself. Everybody has to be initiated in some way, somehow, right?
Jenny, how many times are you doing it a week?
voting for Obama, and she didn't at all.
Listen. I don't know if I have a hormonal imbalance or something, but come on, you guys. There's got to be some. There's a double standard here. There's got to be some. First of all, women are just smart enough not to talk about how many times they need to pleasure themselves. I mean, men are just, you know, I don't know. They feel licensed to just talk about it because it's just what they need to do. I don't know. But no, absolutely, women need self-gratification. So, yeah, but it's just not something we feel the need to talk about.
As frequent? As frequent as fellas?
Every night. Are you kidding me? It's like a lullaby. I have to, yes, absolutely.
Okay, but,
it's like to go to sleep. Are you kidding me?
Hold it, Jenny. Hold on a second. Here. Keith just gave me like the throwing his hands up signal as this. But understand that on the phone right now we have Jenny saying this, but we also have Vanessa on the phone who's saying only twice a week for her. So
okay.
it's not saying that everyone is the same.
No, that's exactly. So that's why I'm saying maybe I do have a hormonal imbalance because they say that on average the male thinks about sex every 20 minutes. Right? Is that true, guys?
I would say probably more. Probably
okay.
Less time.
All right. So maybe because of this whole, you know, the notion of spread your seed. You know, men need, I guess, to spread their seed, right? But, you know, that's not to say that women don't indulge in self-gratification. So let's not have a double standard about it and ignore the fact that women... No. We're just not compulsive about it.
Understand. I am not suggesting double standard. I think it's terrific. I think you should feel free to sit on the washing machine, do whatever you need to do as many times as you want to do. I think it's great. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all. I'm just saying that from the experience, not so much the experience, but the knowledge that has been given to me by ladies of their fiddling practices, they keep it close to the vest, I guess, because no one has ever come out to say that they're taking care of it 2-3 times a day the same way that I do.
But what I can tell you about female sexuality is it's definitely more tied into emotions. So it's kind of where a woman is emotionally with herself would kind of reflect on her sexuality. So, but I can tell you that I'm streaming online right now, so I want your personal insight. But I can tell you from reading that, yeah, certainly sexual therapeutic, you know, applications can be applied to emotionally, like emotional catharsis for women. Just as the same as for men. But it seems to be that it's like a physical necessity for you guys because of this whole, again, spread your seed.
I'm going to say it's definitely emotional. It's emotional for me, too. I generally try and think about a girl crying, that's usually what does it for me. That gets me a little bit aroused. But, I mean, it's a sexy thing, though. It's adorable.
Well, you know what? But it's also, let's just remove emotions from the equation altogether and just boil it down to the physical necessity, just being a human, you know, human nature, the human condition, just being a human animal and, you know, an animal, animalistic. Sexuality is where aren't we all kind of in hungry in the sense for, you know, whatever power, we all know that rape is more about power, right, than about sexual gratification, right? So let's think about masturbation and kind of like imagining yourself in a power position and for that moment that you're gratifying yourself, you know.
Wait, so you're like, are you telling me that when I'm tugging at myself that I'm raping myself, that I'm exerting power over my own genitals is what exactly
no,
I'm doing?
Let's delve deep into the psyche and just see where psychologically you are at that moment and what you need to release in that moment. Maybe your boss got the better of you, maybe your wife got the better of you, and at that moment you don't physically require, you know, her body to get to the place you need to be, but the sex act, you know, the self-gratifying sex act is cathartic for you, and yeah, so it's power, it's release, let's just put it that way. Masturbation, in essence, is just a form of release, whether it's, you know... You could be doing yoga, you could be, you know...
No, I can't. I'm not flexible at all. But for a fella, I understand and agree. For a lady, I didn't think that there was that there would be that sense of relief there.
Of course! Are you kidding me? Oh, no. Well, you're sorely mistaken if you think that women don't need it. And, I said, you know, just women are obviously, you know, the smarter sex. So we're just smart enough not to talk about it as much because we're a slave to what's called imminence. Go Google that, imminence.
I know. It means you're smarter because I know that you're not jamming your finger in you. Oh, you're a genius now. But, I mean, but that means smarter? Come on.
Well, it's not something that we need to share necessarily.
You're not as open. Not as open. That doesn't necessarily have anything to do. That shouldn't. Well, maybe that is an aspect of intelligence, though. Not showing the hand.
Have
could
you
be.
Guys? Okay. Well, have you guys? I mean, have you guys even like? Okay, there's a new field of sociology, right, where they're kind of exploring this idea of the intelligent quotient, right? Okay, so we have the IQ. We have this kind of like this understanding that people can produce things in literature, you know, works of literature that are so profound and change people's thinking. But then there's a whole area of study now that's studying sexual intelligence, emotional intelligence. So there's people that have, let's just classify them as, I don't know, prostitutes or sex workers. You know, there's a whole class of people now that can be defined as being more intelligent than other people in certain aspects, you know, of human nature. So there's, you know, there's a sexual intelligence. Like, there's
are we still talking about touching body privates? I just want to make sure I'm still with it.
Are we still talking? No. Well, now we're kind of talking. No, well, if you're going to talk about sex work, now we're getting into, you know, I don't know, capitalism and money, because then again, it's in the
whoa. Slow down. We're not going there yet.
All right. I had to weigh in on this one. I'm sorry.
So we appreciate you calling in and being a part and joining
no
in with
problem.
Us, Jenny. Thanks so much. Please, by all means, feel free to call in whenever and be a part of the show.
I'm here.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Jenny's talking about sexual intelligence. I wish masturbation was on the SATs.
Oh, my
I would
God.
Have got a 900. Maybe an 850.
I know.
The stroking aptitude test? Thanks for hitting the soundboard, Fred.
Excellent. Vanessa, you still with us, buddy?
Hello.
Hi. What's going on, buddy?
I'm not sure. I got a little scared.
So, Vanessa, when you start dating a guy and he asks if you do it, are you lying as well? Are you going to be honest and say two or three times a week, or are you going to, like, lower that number?
Maybe I'm lowering that number for you. Maybe I'm,
Maybe
I haven't been telling you guys the truth.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
About anything. Who knows?
This is all a lie. It's all been a lie. Yeah. Vanessa, I'm ashamed of you, and I'm disgusted with the lies that you spread here every week on Best in Show. Thanks so much, buddy, for your magnificent report. And I don't know. I love that it always gets to touching. That's my favorite part about it. Just say it.
Happy inauguration day.
Thanks, buddy.
That's okay, tomorrow.
Bye.
Oh, soon enough.
Yeah.
How soon is
bye.
Now?
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
What do you get when you mix two very fake Long Island accents, two Afflecks, two ugly actresses, and Elvis Costello? 200 Cigarettes, the 1999 movie set on New Year's Eve for the year of, you guessed it, 1981. 200 Cigarettes is the feature film directorial debut for Risa Bramon Garcia, the casting director who called in a favor to everyone she ever met to star in her film. 200 Cigarettes is the story of a young woman played by Martha Plimpton who is throwing a New Year's Eve party in her East Village apartment. Plimpton is upset that by 10 p.m. there is still no one there. She should be happy that one of the potential guests is Courtney Love, making Martha Plimpton finally not the ugliest girl in the movie. It's too bad Lily Taylor wasn't on the guest list. The movie follows an all-star cast as they make their way around New York City, all hopefully trying to get to the same party. Kate Hudson, who spends a good portion of the movie covered in dog crap, is a pathetic girl who falls in love with Jay Moore after a one-night stand. Christina Ricci and Gabby Hoffman are two girls from Ronkonkoma, Long Island, who put on the worst accents in movie history while getting followed around by Casey Affleck and his orange-haired friend. Brother Ben Affleck is the much-sought-after bartender who ends up getting stood up repeatedly. Dave Chappelle rounds out the cast as a pimped-up cab driver who tries to score with every girl he gives a ride to. 200 Cigarettes is easily the best comedy about New Year's Eve set in New York City in 1981 that I've seen this year. It's definitely entertaining, and thanks to the excellent performances by the cast, worth seeing. Although I think it would have been a better deal if they called it Cotton, 200 Cigarettes gets 3.5 out of 5 lighters. I'm 100K with a movie review.
It's Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do to yours. Place to be. You can be a part if you want. 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger, Best in Show Chris, Best in Show Keith, Rob Giggs with a Z. All that good stuff. All that good stuff. I don't know if we haven't spoken a lot about it. We have that the top songs of all time. We have a tournament going on that we're going to be launching, I think, with this Thursday's show is when we will actually launch the voting. We're trying to establish what is the greatest song of all time. If you go over to RadioBronzeFans.com, we'll actually post the link up there on how to actually get the voting done to figure out what the best song of all time is. Do not submit any more nominations because we've already done it. We've already established what these songs are. We're going to be publishing them, and we're figuring out what the first round matchups are to get this thing going over at RadioBronzeFans.com. It'll be exciting. We'll figure out what, I don't know, looking at the songs that were nominated, half of them are good, half of them are crap. It doesn't really make much of a difference anyway. We're going to have a good time with it, and it's going to be fine. Hi, fellas.
What's up? Well, so I worked the other day. I'm online. And I got a little time off, and sometimes I get to go on the computer. And I figured, hey, well, why don't I check on the news, see what's happening in the news. So I go to CNN.com, because that's a news channel, right? You can find some news there.
Okay, according to some.
Exactly, right. The first thing, first article I see, girl's virginity is going for sale for $3.7 million. That's the first news article I see.
The last day of my drinking, the last time I went to I went to the Black Sheep last week, my favorite bar, which if you're ever on 3rd Avenue and 38th Street, you should hop in and say hi to Sean. He's the greatest bartender in the world.
I say if you're on 3rd and 35th, walk the three blocks.
Well, you know, well, that's a good point, too. It's a good point. You should do that. But if you're ever in there. But the last day that I was there, that's all Sean can talk about, the bartender. That all he talked about the entire day is like, could you believe this? And, you know, and you're showing the picture.
This slag.
You know, well, he wasn't that kind. He wasn't that kind. But, you know, I try and keep it a little bit clean here on the air, so I'm not going to say all the words he said. But
he was going off on it. What was he saying?
Like what's
she's
the
not
big,
pretty enough?
What's the big what's deal? The big she's deal? Ugly, whatever. And just, I mean, I guess.
Well, looking at a picture of her, she's not ugly. You know, she's a cute girl.
She ain't $3 million worth.
Exactly. Is there any girl that, like, you would see that you would pay $3.7 million for?
Jessica Alba.
You would do $3.7 million for Jessica?
No, I probably wouldn't. If I had $3.7 million, I would probably just masturbate constantly on a pile of money and just love it. Just be like, oh God, look at this! Look at how great this is.
But the chick's name is Natalie Dillon. She's 21, and with this money, she wants to pay for her master's degree. Guess what her master's degree is in, Chris?
Virginity selling. No.
Her master's degree is in family and marriage therapy.
Okay, I got news for you. I see where you're going with this. Go where you're going with this, because I'll tell you, it's not so crazy.
What do you mean it's not so crazy?
It's not so crazy. Where are you going with
this? How is she going to be a marriage therapist when her face is out there and one of her clients is going to be like, oh, you're the girl that sold her body for $3.7 million and you're going to tell me how to...
I've got friends that are in certain industries. I've got friends that are in therapeutic industries, shall we say. I've got friends that are therapists that are the most effed up people I've ever known in my life that are phenomenal at dealing with other people's problems.
Wouldn't that be why? Wouldn't you think that would help?
It could. It could. It very well could.
Like, honestly, can you be or should you be like a drug counselor because you went to school and learned about it? Like, or should you be a drug counselor because, you know, you had an addiction for years and you know, like, I mean, as much as you can be told what to tell people and what, you know, what they should do, like, I honestly think unless you're, like, coming from that place already, it's just, I don't think it's the same, you know? It's the reason that, like, a pitching coach is never, like, a guy that read about pitching a lot in college, you know?
Like, yeah, actually did it. But more often than not, they're not the best pitchers that are the best pitching coaches. They're not the best quarterbacks that are best quarterback coaches. They're guys that were, but weren't the best at it,
but
generally.
They figured it out too late.
Or maybe they just didn't have they might not have had the physical gifts to be able to do it too.
Maybe you're a counselor that missed the vein every now and again. No.
I had the skin pop. I could never really do it right. I'm sorry.
So Keith, you say you have to experience something in order to teach it. Is that what you're saying?
Not like, anything. I think certain things, and I think emotional things, you have to experience, you know, something like that. I think you have to experience, and I think you know. It just helps, you know, like you're not consulting a book. you know, every time you need to, like, well, hold on, let me see, you know, let me see what I should think about.
Well,
that.
Psychiatry, just take a psychiatrist. Do you think this person deals with, is mental themselves, and that's why they could deal with people's issues?
Not
maybe?
Always. But I think it could help, honestly.
It definitely could. It could help, but I don't know that's a prerequisite for it. I'm sure there's a lot of straights that could do that could help you out without having, you know, walked in the exact shoes that you've been in, shall we say. But just because the girl wants to sell her pishquats doesn't mean that she's not going to be able to tell you how to manage a relationship. I don't think that there's anything I don't think the two things necessarily
go what?
Her pishquats. What, you don't know what a pishquats is?
Just double checking.
Well, you know where Natalie got the idea to sell about?
Oh, you're on a first name basis with that. I didn't even know. I didn't know you guys were so close.
That's what he got for $1 million, first name basis.
Natalie got the idea from her little sister, Avia, that sold her body for 3 weeks on the street to pay for her college loan.
Whoa, her little sister?
Yes.
How old is her little sister?
I don't know. They didn't say in the article, but she said
9.
She got the idea. Oh, God.
Like, I mean, like, how? But you said for a college, I mean, she had to be...
at least 8. Let's hope at least 18. You know, Natalie's 21.
Yeah, let's hope she was 18 before she was doing something illegal. Because sometimes if she's 18, it makes it somehow better.
Now, does that make you think it's a little bit... they're a little bit off? The family might be a little bit off?
Yeah, they might be. I mean, it seems like a lot more than... I mean, I would guess that her whoring sister probably has some issues. I'm going to guess that the girl who thinks that her little golden cherry is the most valuable thing in the world. And you know what? She's going to get people that are going to pay for it. More power to her.
But there's no legal issues behind this?
Why?
I thought that was illegal all along.
It was just
Sorry.
A gift. They could just say it was a gift. They went out on a date.
Yeah. Nah, but then it gets taxed like crazy if it's a gift. So that means
I'm going to guess that there's probably some sort of legal ramifications, but I'm sure it's, you know, there's ways around it. She's not a business.
He's going to stuff the money inside of her. She's just going to keep it like
in singles. Oh my God, that'll take forever.
But I would love to see the guy that's paying for it though. Like, do you think this guy is attractive at all?
Oh, he's going to be a real winner.
He's going to look like Brian.
He's got $3.7 million.
First of all, he's on eBay. Second of all, he's...
Wait, if you're a millionaire trolling eBay, what the hell, man? You can't really go to a store and buy something when you got millions to blow?
Not Natalie, apparently.
Well, and I'm thinking like...
They don't sell it at Saks Fifth Avenue. Oh, and right here, a fresh virgin.
I mean, you could get a prostitute who's hot as hell for $10,000 and is going to give you a good time. Like, Natalie, I don't think she's going to give you a good time.
Used, though.
I think the whole thing
brand
behind, like...
new.
But brand new, but not so good. Brand new, but not,
I understand.
Not experience.
I understand. Brand new. That's what he's paying for.
I think
he's
whole,
not looking for the experience.
The whole thing behind a dude... Like wanting to pay to take the virginity. That's probably one of the creepiest things I've heard tonight.
Absolutely. 3.7 mil.
Did you listen to the first 2 hours of the show? Lots of
minus you. Minus you, Chris. Sorry.
Okay. Did you guys ever, like, pay for anything like that? You ever think about doing...
Pay $3.7 million for a virgin? Never thought about it once.
I paid $40 for a girl that did it only 6 times.
You guys like strip bars? You guys?
Oh yeah, I used to go. I used to go to strip bars fairly often. They're not. They're not. I don't really have a desire to go to strip bars at all anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's. I used to frequent strip bars quite often.
And you didn't feel guilty throwing down money, putting in their pants as they dance for you.
Guilty? No. What do I feel guilty about?
I can't do strip
bars. I should feel stupid.
I was just going to say, if you don't feel guilty, you should at least feel very, very stupid.
Yeah, you feel stupid because all you're doing is handing someone money. Can I see your boobies here? Here, take some money. I can see your boobies.
But I think this guy is retarded for paying $3.7 for a virgin. I know you're saying it's not the experience, it's the...
maybe he is.
The... What do you mean?
Maybe he is, and that's part of the reason he's paying.
Yeah. But I can't see it doing with a virgin just for the experience. I mean, new and used, is there any different? Is there really any difference?
New and used?
Used is you generally better. Broken in?
Yes.
Worked out, stretched, a little limber.
But you know what,
ready
Chris?
To go?
What? New comes with cries. Tears.
Not necessarily. Because if I'm getting $3.7 million, I'm giggling the entire time. Giggling like a mad woman. Going to the... I'm going to buy so much crap now. You know, $3.7 million, a lot of money.
And for 3.7, she has to, like, all inputs, I think, have to be involved. Rape scene, maybe?
All he cares about is the one input that's not working. I mean, that hasn't been worked yet, I should say. Not that's not working. I want a broken girl.
Her ear to her brain, that's the only thing that's not working. I mean, there has to be... For $3.7 million, you have to have some scene going on. There's got to be animals involved, I bet.
She has to do nothing. She's going to lay there. She's going to get pounded. She's going to bleed a little bit. And she's going to walk away, and it's over. And that's all it's going to be.
You think? I don't know. I think this guy's going to have stipulations for $3.7 mil.
If the guy has, if the guy has expendable, disposable income that he could throw $3.7 million at sex with somebody...
If it's family style, it's all right.
I can't imagine it's that big a deal. I can't believe it's that big a deal. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Nugget.
Hey, Nugget. What's going
Nugget?
On? Nugget, when did your name become a sing song? What's going on, my friend?
I don't know.
What's going on? How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm glad Brian's not there today.
Aren't we all?
I don't take this as offense, but we should have a show called, when Brian's on, we should have a show called The Awful Show, and then when Brian's not on, make it Best in Show.
Well, that's sort of, but I think The Awful Hour already has that. Our buddies, Veal Chop and Pickle, theawfulhour.com, they've already got The Awful, they've copyrighted that, so we're not going to be able to do that. But
we should add Brian to their show, because Brian would make perfect sense on there.
Wow! I'm detecting, and not subtly, might I add, a little bit of hatred towards Brian on the show. Not a big fan.
No, he always screws things up. Like, I'm surprised he even like made the show go off air when Rob Giggs is gone.
Wow!
Is he a little too witty for you? You think maybe your age difference and his intellect of how he speaks maybe sometimes and how he. Tries to discuss a certain topic is a little bit over your head.
Well, see, before you even answer that, Nugget, he talks over. Let's be honest. We've all listened to Brian. He talks over my head half the time. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
it's really scary. He came up to the cam once. He like made like a weird face. Like he went like right up to the cam, and I almost scared like peed in my pants. I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
It was just a face, bro. Just a face. Seeing another man's face.
Like a dinosaur.
Okay. Oh.
Like a dinosaur.
Wow.
Previously on Best in Show.
He made a scary face like a dinosaur. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think that Brian is necessarily the most attractive guy on the face of the earth. But I have not noticed his face look like a dinosaur yet. I'm going to look out for it, though.
Hey Nugget, what do you think about this girl selling her body for sex?
Who is that?
This girl in the news is selling her body for $3.7 million. She's selling her virginity for $3.7 million.
No way.
You think it's bad? You think it's wrong?
I think it's wrong, yeah.
Why?
You gotta earn that stuff. You can't just get it.
Oh, look at that. You know, there are romantics out there. There are fellas that really just want to just have your virginity and not give you anything for it. And I just want all the young ladies out there that are listening to know that Nugget is ready to deflower anybody free of charge. Is that correct, Nugget?
Sure.
Hey, Spickle wants to know, Nugget, how much would you give for yours? How much would you ask to give up yours?
Hey, we're not... Nugget, please do not answer that question. Please do not answer that question. Thank you. When you're 18 years old, call back and tell us what you would have answered, but I am not going to proposition children into talking about sex on our show.
It's like eight.
Speaking of unprepared or speaking of virginity and crap like that, when are you guys going to do the Sunday show?
We'll get to it. It's coming soon. The last episode of Thursday on Sunday is coming soon. It'll be here. It'll be here at some point. It's
you
gonna
mean
be
the Will Obama be reelected special?
Oh, it's going to be awesome. How sad that Obama can't run for a third term special, you mean? Yeah, it's going to be outrageous. It's going to be fantastic. By the way, I love calling the idea of a virgin, calling them unprepared. I don't know if you caught that in there. That's what Nugget says. Like, yeah, like speaking of being unprepared or like a virgin. Like, yeah, I love the unprepared. Oh, baby, $3.7 million for your unpreparedness.
Hey,
I'm
Nugget.
So glad President Bush is out of office. Uh-huh. Aren't you guys glad?
Let's hope it's better. Let's hope the new guy does something better. I'm not expecting much, so I don't get disappointed. You know what I mean? I don't want to...
That's a way to go through life. That's optimistic, I guess. Yeah. I expect nothing, so when I die, I'm not sad.
Exactly.
Well, it's good. Good. I'm glad you guys are. You're on board. You're really signing up, and getting into the whole system. I'm happy for you. Happy for you. Nugget. Anything else before we let you go, buddy?
No, I just wanted to tell you how scary Keith was. That's all. I mean, not Keith. I mean Brian.
Little bastard.
Later, Nugget.
Awesome. Awesome. That's our buddy Nugget. That's our buddy Nugget. Where's the Nugget music that you used to play every week? Like, Nugget has come. Remember that?
So I got
to
come up with something for Nugget. I'll come up with something.
He's consistent. He's consistent. If we were going to call out like a call streak or something of that nature, where's he
from?
I don't know. The internet. He lives on the internet, I think.
Sweet.
He lives, I think, Paltalk. He was born in Paltalk. Or he was born on like Firefox, but now he lives in Paltalk.
I think he spends the summer at Ustream, though.
Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? I mean, it's such a clear, crystal blue waters of Ustream. I love that place.
By the way, the polls are in. 70%, 3 to 4 times a week is the number.
Fellas?
Everybody Ladies? That was in the room. There was a total of 9 votes. 7 out of 9 voted 3 to 4.
Wow, thanks for crushing the polls, guys. We really appreciate all 9 of you just really logging in and really having your voice.
Oh, wait,
that
7 plus 3 would be 10.
Oh, wow. And the votes keep coming in. We just can't keep those. They've kicked the polls open. It's excellent. So I spoke a little bit earlier, by the way, here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, you know, blah, 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 talk, 877-744-645, you want to hang. I talked earlier about having an inappropriate thought at my friend's mother's wake and you know, looking at the ladies. I've had some other inappropriate thoughts in my life, as Keith makes eyes at me as I say it, because he thinks it's finally time. I've had some inappropriate thoughts, and I'm curious, when you're having any sort of inappropriate thoughts, and I'll get more specific as we go on, how willing are you to give that information to people about inappropriateness that you have? And obviously, I really don't care all that much. I'm about to share it on the radio show for all I care. But let's just say, like, okay, we talked about the wake thing earlier. Let's say, like, dreams. You ever had a dream about someone that you know in an inappropriate way? And you could be honest or dishonest or whatever you choose to. I'm going to tell from the bottom of my heart that I absolutely have. I've definitely dreamt about, you know, doing all sorts of awful things with friends, people that I had no sort of relationship with other than a friendly one.
Anybody in this room?
No, I've never had an inappropriate dream about anyone in this room at this juncture. No, because Brian's not here today.
What was the inappropriateness? Inappropriateness?
Oh, I've dreamt about having sex.
Sex
with
girls,
with girlfriends of mine.
Murder?
No, that's a weird thought. No, I've never dreamt of killing somebody that I know in a thing. But
I remember having a vivid dream of beating up my brother real bad. Beating him up.
Well, that's a fantasy more than a dream. Exactly. Your brother would knock you out.
Exactly. But it was like bloody, and it was very, I guess, inappropriate. But I would never, I don't think I've ever told anybody that. You know, I kind of keep those things in. I don't want to, you know, I had this crazy dream that I almost killed you the other night.
For the record, it's being said in the Heroes Talk Room by Vanessa that she has had a sex dream about someone from Best in Show. By all means, call in and let us know.
I bet you it's Giggs.
I would assume it would have to be...
Zombie? No, wait. He's technically not. No. Yes.
I'm saying Fred.
No, it's either Chris or Keith.
I'm saying Fred. I'm saying Fred.
Take Keith.
Keith?
Keith.
Yeah, I might be going towards Keith, too.
I'm saying Fred because I think that there was like a little bit of a sexual tension between you and her when you first started on the show.
Oh, really? I think it's Brian.
You think it's Brian, yeah.
Because he can read.
But then again,
is that more she likes guys who can read.
Is that a nightmare or a sexual dream?
Oh, and she said she's not telling.
Call up Vanessa.
Can't give us that.
Even more, she's saying that she also had a dream that Lars from Metallica was her boyfriend, too. So I guess it all means nothing. But, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, there have been lots of, you know.
But you don't verbalize them to the people that you dream about.
Well, that's my question. How can you verbalize it? Like, because any way that you tried to verbalize it or tried to share it would come off as you were trying to hit on that person. And that wouldn't be the intent.
Yes.
But I think it would be hilarious if I could tell my friend, I don't know, let's say Jenny, which let me preface by saying, no, I didn't have that dream about it. I've never had that dream about it. But like, say, like someone that I know, like, and I actually say that to them. Like, I would love to be able to tell them, like, oh, dude,
you pissed on you
around the world. It was insane. You were flipping off a wok. It was nuts. Like, somehow giving a finger to some cooking utensils.
Woks come up constantly when you're just, like, scanning your mind for some wild, like sexual deviancy. Like, a wok constantly is named by, like, that's the fifth time on our show that you mention a wok. Normally it's about, like, pissing in a wok, but, like, there's always some reference to, like, a wok.
Side saddle and woks.
Okay, well, first of all, pissing, fantastic. Second of all, I don't know if you've noticed, you might as well know, I've battled with weight issues my whole life, and I like Asian cuisine. What am I going to say? So a wok might sneak its way into my bedroom when I'm thinking about certain things like that. And side saddle, of course. What, are you going to ride like regular? It's disgusting.
I guess it all depends on the person that you had the dream about and how close of friends you are with them. Like, if you could say, just joking around, I had this weird dream about you without having that sexual tension going on. But I could see if, you know, out of the blue, you're just getting together with somebody on Facebook telling them that you had a dream about them.
Okay, I'm gonna. How about this? Someone that I've met before. Someone that I've met before, but not that I'm personally, like, you know, that I see on a regular basis. Although in certain senses I do, in maybe in a pal talk room. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share right now an inappropriate dream that I had about someone that I know from pal talk. I had a dream that I was with a special friend that some of us may know in the pal talk room as Barb, that we were hanging out, and this inappropriate dream progressed as her and I were talking in the stream, and then I got on the couch and laid and started snuggling with her boyfriend, Tidbit 88, in a dream on my heart. I swear to God, this is a legitimate dream that I had about a month and a half ago, and it freaked me out to no end, because I'm not really attracted. I'm not attracted to Alex in that way at all, but I legitimately had a dream that I snuggled with him, that I was snuggling with him on the couch, and in the dream, I could smell body odor on him. That's how vivid it was.
Wait, so you never saw, did you see Barb? Did you see the girl?
No, that's in the dream. It started with me and her hanging out talking, and there was nothing going on between me and her in the dream. Could I have a gayer sexual fantasy in the dream? Like, I'm dreaming about Barb, and I want to get with her boyfriend. What?
Did she morph into the dude?
No, she was there. She was there. She went into the other room, and then I laid on the couch with her boyfriend. And don't get me wrong, I didn't kiss him, I didn't make out with him, I didn't do anything with
him. Nuzzle his neck.
No, she, family style.
She didn't morph, but Alex actually morphed into DJ New Style in his dreams.
Oh, my, well, see, that's a different story. But yeah, it was just the oddest thing in the world. And if I didn't have the platform of doing the radio show here, I would never share that in a million years. But because it's such a ridiculous story, how can I not mention it? Like, but how do you say that to someone? How could you share something like that with somebody? Like, yeah, oh, dude, I dreamt that I snuggled with you the other night. Bro. Bro, what's up?
Well, I wonder if Barb took offense to this. I wonder if Barb's saying, why not me? Why him? Why not me? What's wrong with me?
I'm being honest. These are dreams.
If by why not
I
mean you mean thank God, then yeah, she probably is.
So you spooned him, basically.
No, I kinda got up against him and I put my head in like the crook of his arm and chest.
And you smelt his underarm.
And I smelt his underarm in the dream. And he was dressed. He was dressed like he was clothed. He had a t-shirt on in the dream. It was just so
And
odd.
Where were you guys? Blue Oyster?
I want to say we were in like a hotel room. Because that was the thing. I want to say maybe Barb went to the bathroom in the dream. Like she went like to go take a shower or something. And then me and Tidbit went and go like, you know, now that she's gone, let's get together, bro. Like, you know, it was just the oddest thing. It was the oddest thing.
Is that like... Is that your... Would you call that a gay dream? A gay fantasy? I would. I would call it a little bit gay.
Gay fantasy?
Keep going.
I would call it a gay fantasy, definitely.
Man. Apparently, everything just crashed. So, how you guys doing?
Has a girl ever not gone to the bathroom in your dream?
You I didn't even think of that. That part didn't even dawn anywhere in my head at all. It was just such an odd thing. And like to wake up the next morning, like I said, I didn't think there was anything sexual about it. And before the computer crashed, there, Fred was asking, would he consider that a gay fantasy? Well, one, it wasn't a fantasy; it was more of a dream come true. But it was more of a dream. It wasn't a fantasy. It wasn't like something that I was longing for. But it's something that happened. But I guess it's kind of gay. I guess, how do you not say it's gay? It's like snuggling with a dude? That's pretty, I'd say that leans towards the gay side.
What was your level of comfort? Like, were you like...
Comfort.
What do you mean?
Like, were you...
I was snuggling with him! What level of comfort do you need with snuggling? Like a romance. But again, it seemed almost like paternal. Or fraternal,
which
I guess.
Way? Oh, okay.
But it's funny that there's a cute girl in the dream that you kind of like discarded.
Cute, stunning,
yeah,
gorgeous, gorgeous girl in the dream,
and you just discarded out of the way, like in the back of your mind, and you go right for the dude.
I didn't discard, but you also understand that there's a certain air of reality in a dream when you're doing things, right? Like if you're cognizant of what is happening in a dream. You're going to tell me that you don't have the thought process saying, oh, this is just a dream. I can do whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not like I was just like, oh, dude, I'm in a dream. Here's a hot chick. I'm going to throw you on the floor and start doing it.
Sure.
You know, like it was the disbelief was not suspended. To me, it was reality. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to like, you know, I wasn't looking to mac on a dude's girlfriend in a dream.
Absolutely.
That wasn't where I was going with it. But snuggling with that dude seemed totally appropriate and normal. And when you
woke up, what happened? Did you take a hot shower? Did you try to scrub yourself off?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Did you try to go back desperately?
Why can't I be asleep? Why can't I be asleep?
No, but really, were you weirded out by the whole thing? I think I would be weirded out.
Oh, I'm 100% weirded out by. Like that's why I said this is why this is something I haven't brought up. Like I didn't know how to bring this up. Like if not for the radio show, there'd be no reason I would ever tell another soul about this. But it was like an odd
thing. That's harder bringing up that story than like you just, you know, having sex with Barb, because that's a regular guy dream that you would have. I think this dream is definitely weirder and harder to bring up than just a regular sex dream about some girl that's a friend of yours.
I don't know.
Because of the gay factor. Then the kid that you were snuggling with is now going to be like a big gay sex symbol or something like that. You know what I mean? His sexuality is in question.
I'm going to say that I think it's easier to tell a dude that you had an odd, inappropriate dream about him than telling a chick. Because
really?
just like with the masturbation topic that we were going through earlier, I think any girl that you tell, dude, I dreamt that me and you boned last night, there's no way to not come off as a creep when you're doing that. Whereas me going, bro, I dreamt that we cuddled last night, that there's no way that dude's not just laughing at you like, ew, you faggot. You know, like that's what it is.
Maybe he's laughing or maybe he's going to punch you in the face when you say it.
Oh, stop it.
Maybe he's down.
if a guy is going to punch another guy for saying, bro, I dreamt that we laid in bed together. Oh, I was on a couch, actually.
What is he, Fonzie?
Yeah, like, who's going to punch somebody for that?
You never know.
I mean, if it was 1954, maybe. not even. Like, I just dreamt that we cuddled. It wasn't even like a...
Like Ogre in Revenge of the Nerds. That's who you're telling this to.
That's tough. I don't know. I would rather tell the girl about the sex dream than the dude.
By the way, conspicuous by her absence from this conversation is Barb. She must have stepped away from the computer or is totally shamed by what I'm talking about here. I love the fact that there's no response. But it was the truth. The fact is that we cuddled.
So you're out. Is this your coming out party?
No, that's not at all. That's not at all what I'm suggesting.
Spickle in the chat room pointing out it would have been less gay kissing than snuggling, except, and perhaps a Freudian typo, he wrote, I would have been less gay kissing.
I'm gonna say maybe things are different in Philadelphia. I understand it's a different place, it's a different area. I understand these guys have to console themselves there now. They had a rough weekend. These things happen. But I'm telling you that kissing a dude is easier than, like, it's not, it wasn't romantic snuggling. It was kind of like, oh, hold me.
Come here, bro.
Oh, wait, I guess that is romantic. I guess actually would be the dictionary definition of a romantic one.
Pretty cold out, bro.
It
Is this your first gay dream?
What do you mean?
Like, can you remember another dream that you and a dude snuggling? Or
I don't think it was necessarily gay. I don't think it was. This was necessarily gay. It was
questionable.
Like, okay, I'll give you. It was a questionable dream. It was a questionable.
Any other questionable dreams that you can remember?
Okay, I had a bestial dream.
I hope that sheep isn't listening.
Really?
I'm telling you. And now Barb is driving into the Pal Talk room. Alex is the gay lover. No, he wasn't the gay lover. He was the fraternal cuddle buddy. It's a little bit different. It wasn't.
Were
it
you
wasn't
on top or was he on the bottom?
Next to each other. He was laying there, and I snuggled up with him. Like, I bellied up to the bar and just like really just got in there.
Reverse cowgirl? Like, what position
were
you guys in?
Come on. See, you're making this dirty. You're turning this into
something. Now, you
disgusting.
Said it was just you and Barb in the beginning hanging out. Alex wasn't even in the picture.
No. He was there. He was absolutely there. But I was talking to her, and then she went to the other room. Like I said, I had assumed the bathroom because, you know, that's how my fantasies work. I assumed that that's where she went. And then I went and cuddled with Alex. Just like bros. Come here, bro. Hang out.
Did he give you that come hither, like, that point?
No, it wasn't romantic. It was like, it was like brotherly, almost. Okay. But I guess brothers shouldn't hug like that. It was just weird, okay? It was weird.
I love that. That makes it less weird. Brothers snuggling together.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is what I get for sharing on the show. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
What the fuck? What are you doing, Chris?
I'm telling.
Why?
I wish that I could explain from the bottom of my heart. This was not a conscious decision. This is what happened in my head while I was sleeping, and I can't lie. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm telling the truth here. That I had a magnificent dream that starred you and your boyfriend, and me and your boyfriend wound up being in bed together. I don't know what to tell you. It was nice, though. It was nice. It was romantic. It wasn't even romantic. Like I said, it was almost like, it was like cuddly. Cuddled.
You were just laying in the bed, just like laying, not watching TV or something.
No, you and I were talking while he was there. Like, he was just like there hanging. Me and you were talking. Then you went into the other room, and he was laying on the couch, and I got on the couch with him and like cuddled with him. And the audio dropped out there, so you probably missed it. It was so real that I actually smelt his body odor as I was snuggling with him. And I want that to be clear. Yeah, it was awful. It was, I mean, hey, this was real and primal. It was very, very sexy.
You remember what we were talking about at all?
Not particularly. This happened about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, and that's actually how this whole conversation started. Is like, how do you talk about things like this? How do you bring this up? So it's been a while. I don't remember that specifically. The thing that I specifically remember is like, oh my god, I was just cuddling with Alex. What the hell? What's going on? Where am I? Who am I? That's where it was. So no, I don't remember the specifics of the conversation.
That's really weird. Someone else that I've never met, just told me yesterday that I was in a dream of theirs.
See, a guy?
Yes.
Okay, let's cut to the chase and let's be honest here. A guy dreaming about an attractive girl, because let's be honest, you're an attractive girl, not so weird. Not so
weird.
But
there was no sex there either, you know?
But an attractive girl making her way into a guy's dreams, normal. Normal. A guy cuddling with another guy in a dream, maybe not so normal, maybe not so much so.
So, Bob, the question I had earlier was, how do you feel about this? Do you feel slighted at all? Like, hey, why not me? Why Alex?
Alex, are you cheating on me? Are you sure?
Yes.
Do you want to,
Bob? I love you, bro. I love you.
What are you doing? What's he wearing?
Okay.
Seriously, what does he look like right now? What has he got on?
I wish he woke up that night and said, I just had the oddest dream. Chris was cuddling me.
By the way, Pristine is pointing out in Pal Talk, Alex was the beacon of reality in the dream. It started off with Barb, and then he realized Barb isn't even attainable in dreams, so he'll settle on her boyfriend. I will say that at the next Heroes Talk event or next anything event, when I do see you, Alex, you do know that you have to cuddle with me, obviously, right, bro?
Well,
friends?
Well, you have to.
Obviously. Just saying. Just saying. I don't know. It's...
Wants to anyway.
Well, thank God. See, so then in this case, it was the right thing to bring out because it's like the icebreaker. It's the icebreaker. Now we've crossed that bridge.
Well, Barb, do you look at Chris different now that he
dreams about your boyfriend?
That he came out with this revelation?
They have something in common now.
That's true.
We both love Alice. Exactly.
You guys can go.
At least you admitted it. Finally, Chris came out.
Hey, you know, well, I'm gonna say, what can I say? I thought it was very nice. It was a romantic. Like I said, I keep saying romantic jokingly because it wasn't sexy. Like it was like cuddling, which is obviously weird mm-hmm. and affectionate. So it was affectionate but not sexy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a snuggie involved?
Was there what involved?
Was there a snuggie involved?
A snuggie?
A snuggie?
Yeah, one of those blankets.
You don't know what a snuggie is?
No, what the hell's a snuggie?
Oh, my fucking God. You haven't seen this commercial?
Oh, you mean the things, the people that look like they're Branch Davidians, like with the they're wearing robes.
The Teletubby suit.
Right. No. There was no snuggie involved. He was wearing a white T-shirt. It was a V-neck. It was a little bit low cut. And I was snuggling with him. I'm just saying.
What were you wearing?
I don't recall. Not much of anything. Nothing. No, I don't remember what I was wearing in the dream at all. I do remember that he had a T-shirt on, though, because I do remember putting my head on the T-shirted chest. And What, bro? Hanging.
Okay.
But nice. Like, nice gay. Like, friendly gay.
But like, not bro. Like those mean gays.
Exactly. Like, it was kind. It was
hold lovely. My hand, bro.
Family style.
Is that okay? Is that okay for a guy to, like, lead his head on someone else's shoulder that's a male?
It's okay. It's definitely not. It's not heterosexual, but it's okay.
It's only okay if you won the World Series.
No, if you won the World Series, you shouldn't be cuddling like putting your head on a guy's leg, bro. What's up?
I can see a catcher doing it to the pitcher. Do you know what I mean?
But putting your head on another dude's shoulder,
giving a hug, giving a nice little
hugging where a head touches is a little bit different. Putting your head on someone's shoulder, that's something that happens in a movie theater when you're feeling very romantic about something that's happening. You don't put your head on someone's shoulder. You definitely don't get on the couch and put your head in the crook of their armpit.
You do.
And smell their musk. No, I don't. I just dream about it. Okay? It's not the same.
So Barb, if a dude comes up to you and says that he had this dream about you, and it was like the sexy dream. Are you calling BS on it, or are you just thinking he's trying to pick you up, or is he a creep for telling you about that?
Can I before
no,
you?
No, because it's happened to me before, and the first thing I want to do is tell the person that was in the dream, like, oh my God, I just had a dream about you. It's so weird.
Oh, so you'll just tell, and you, the raunchier the dream, you're still telling the person, even if it's raunchy.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I get the opportunity to tell them, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
See, that's the thing. It's how do you breach that? I couldn't imagine any girl that I've had awful, and by awful, I mean fantastic dreams about. I could never say, oh, dude, like, how do you say that? Bro, I can't even believe it. And understand, I say bro like that. I call my girlfriends bro the same way that I call guys bro. At least that's my story. So I would say that, I would never be able to say to a girlfriend, oh man, you would not believe how many, like, six ways to Sunday we did it last night in my dreams. Like, how do you do that? How do you do that without coming off as like a creep? And, what Fred just said to you there, Barb, was do you call BS? It's not a matter of BS of whether it's a lie, but, like, you gotta think that the purpose of a guy telling you something like that has gotta be some, that he's got an ulterior, filthy motive. Mm-hmm. I would think. No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, then. I'm starting to call every girl that I had dreams about that I've, over the past okay. like 20 years
on
that
air.
I've forgotten about. Yeah, obviously. Obviously on air. If not for on air, there'd be no purpose for any of it. Awesome. Well, I think it's romantic. I'm looking forward to snuggling with good old Tidbit when I see him. Put my head right in that armpit.
When is the next event? When are you going to...
We don't. We agreed that we're going to do two this year. We're going to officially do two Hear Us Talk events this year.
More than two.
Well, we're officially saying definitely two. We're at least upgrading from one last year. But we're going to wind up doing more than two, I think. We'll probably do a couple. But, I mean, like, even like Ron and Fez events, anything, I need to actually get out of the house and go to some of these things that I always say, yeah, I'm going to go, and then I wind up having to work or something and stay home.
They're like all weddings. lately, you know, like go to this one's wedding, that one's wedding. I don't know. It seems like everyone's getting married these days. I don't know if they're on the second marriages or if they're still on the first.
It's romance.
And if I was Tidbit, I would stay as far away from you, Chris, as possible.
I'll be honest. I'll be hurt. I'll be hurt if that's the case. Because the fact of the matter is, I like him something awful, obviously. You know, I think he's a terrific fella. And hey, maybe I had a dream. And today of all days, Martin Luther King Day, I had a dream that me and Tidbit could lay together. You know, it's just my dream. That's all I'm saying.
You have a bromance.
Well, it wasn't romantic. Affectionate.
Bromance.
It was affectionate.
You guys know what a bromance is?
What is it officially?
There's a definition.
What is it?
Rudy Jenner gave.
Go on.
It's a bond. It's a bond between you and your go-to guy.
Oh, so it's not a sexual thing. It's more of a friendship, a bromance.
Right, exactly.
Okay, then I will call it a bromance. I'm having bromantical dreams about Tidbit. Absolutely, bromantical. I'm with it. I think it's a sensual thing.
I think you should definitely come out to more Ron and Fez events. We'd love to see you there.
Okay, well, I will, as long as there are cuddles in my future, I'll be there.
Okay.
Excellent. Thanks, buddy.
All right, bye.
Okay, now to the real deal. What happened with this bestiality dream? This other question.
Oh, my bestiality dream.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Well,
please tell me you were the beast.
It wasn't really bestiality. I was dreaming about I was with a young lady in my kitchen, and she was a nondescript lady. And this is a long time ago. I was probably like 14 at the time, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that range, like a young teen, a nuggets age, you know, something of that nature.
Just because they're underage doesn't make them beasts.
Okay, sorry. Oh, wait, no, that's something different. Sorry. I get my philias confused.
So she was an underage girl.
No, the girl was, she was an adult, she was attractive, we were doing it, and I'm looking at her lower body doing it, and then I started looking at her upper body, and her upper body had morphed into my dog.
And what kind of dog did you have at the time?
He was a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Like it was a centaur. It wasn't even bestiality.
A Rhodesian Ridgeback.
What does a Rhodesian Ridgeback look like? Just give me a description.
He looks kind of like a short-haired retriever, but their thing is they have hair growing the wrong way in one segment on their back.
Rhodesian or Brodesian?
A Brodesian Ridgeback, exactly.
Yes. Did you keep going after when you realized it was...
For the sake of the story, I'd love to say yes, but I honestly don't think I did. I don't remember, though. This is a long, long time ago. I think I got freaked out in the dream. I'm fairly certain I got pretty freaked out.
Wow.
Like I said, for the sake of the story, I'd love to say, nah, yeah, and then I started making out with him, feeling his nipples.
That's got to be horrifying. Like, that's got to be, like, startling, jumping out of your sleep
dream.
Okay,
we've established that I am 35 years old. This happened 20 years ago. I remember this dream. Like, it was, you know, it's pretty vivid that I remember it, like, matter-of-factly like this. This is like, scarring. This is scarring.
So how old were you in Dorgius? You must have been at least...
How old was I in Dorgius? Yeah. Oh, I was robbing the cradle. I was robbing the cradle, if that's the way we're going with it.
And your dog was a female or a male?
No, he was a male.
Oh.
So it was gay bestiality, centaur or minotaur griffin sex.
Wasn't it? Well, that was the bottom half was a girl though.
Yeah.
So it was some sort of transgender bestiality.
Oh, that's weird. I didn't even think of that. It was girl parts that I was putting it in.
And it was in the family too. So you were like inbreeding type of too, because it was your dog.
So now we've gotten to bestiality, homosexuality, incest.
Yep.
Did you have an erection you couldn't pull out?
I had to finish the wet dream off. But when it was all done, I cuddled with Tidbit, so it was a creepy.
Did your wife come out with the hose and had to spray you down and separate you two?
No, it was a long time ago. There was no wife in the picture. I knew nothing about it. She didn't get in the way. It was I was free. I was a free spirit, free to bang as many dogs as I wanted to in my dreams.
Where did your dog bury that bone? Bury that boniness.
No. I was with a lady. I was with a half lady, half dog.
Oh my god.
Wait, so the face.
Yeah, it was my dog's face. Wait, you didn't get that part of this?
I did. I'm just. It's hitting me now. Like, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking of like, you know, the if you look underneath a dog, like that chest area right next to the two front paws, like two front legs.
Yeah.
I was thinking of just like that area, but I didn't realize just like the dog's head bent the whole.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great.
Oh man.
And Pristine is asking if Palto was it so real that I could smell his dog breath. No, it wasn't that real. It wasn't quite that real. Oh, I don't remember it if it was. I've been thinking though about new marketing for the show. What do you guys think about the new Best in Show logo? Just a picture of me having sex with a half dog, half woman as a new logo. If there are any artists out there, please feel free to submit your artwork.
Perfect. And did you wait? You don't remember waking up to that dream?
No, long
cold
time
sweats.
Ago. No. I freaked out. I remember being freaked, but I don't remember.
Have you ever told anybody about the dream till now?
I just told a couple hundred downloaders, yeah. I'd say. But not.
And you can never get up the courage to tell your dog that dream?
No, I did. I did. This is what it was like in my dream. Come here, bro. No, I never told my dog. I never told anyone until this very moment. Wow. And it's all this inappropriate. Like, how do you tell? Well, first of all, it's the dog obviously doesn't understand what's going on. So how do you tell anyone that you had sex with a half dog in a dream?
I don't think the girl at that point did either.
You know, how do you tell? Well, the girl was nondescript. Like, she wasn't someone I knew. She was just like a hot chick in my dream, which was odd.
That's what was odd.
But like, there was no real person attached to it. Like, you ever dream about just like a random person? Like, not a real person? Yeah, you do?
Yeah, well, it's never random. It's always maybe someone that you saw on the street or saw on TV.
Yeah, there was nothing to this woman that resonated in any way with me. She was just a chick. And it was on my kitchen floor, by the way. We were having sex on my kitchen floor. And then she heard the top half of her turned into my dog.
Wow. Did she start lapping up, like, water from the bowl or anything? Nothing weird like that?
No, nothing weird like that. everything else was run of the mill. It was run of the mill. Run of the mill sex with a half dog, half woman.
Holy shit. That's horrible.
Mark Doc says that the weird part about the dream is she licked his balls. It was weird. It was so weird. Yeah, and apparently Spickle's pointing it out that this is something that I should be keeping to myself. This is a freakish, odd thing.
Well, man's best friend has a whole new meaning now to me.
It was odd, obviously.
I think this is why you hate pets now. Maybe this scarred you so bad, this is why you hate animals, I think.
I don't...
The dog raped you.
Yeah, well, no, I raped the dog, first of all. I don't hate animals. I just don't particularly care for keeping them as pets. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily...
Just lovers.
I don't understand... I don't understand. Oh, man, Mark Doc pets the forbidden fruit. That's what he said to hear his talk. But I don't understand the idea of keeping a pet. But that's me. You know, and I had pets in my past. I just don't anymore. I have no desire. Just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let the animals roam free to be made love to by any wanton stranger. You know, I just don't know.
You have any weird dreams about like doing like your in-laws or anything like that?
I've dreamt about banging my uncle's wife.
Okay, do you ever say anything to him or your aunt?
No. I was young too. I was probably like 9, 10 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. What do you say? I dreamed I had sex with you. Pass the spaghetti. Like, what am I going to say? How do you do that? Like I said, and even today, even at this age, like how do you go through something like that? Like I said, I've known a lot of people. I've known a lot of very attractive girls. I've definitely had a lot of dreams about girls that would never give me the time. They gave me the time of day, but I knew them as friends. But not that I knew in that way. That I've definitely had awful, filthy dreams about, but I could never tell them. How could you do that?
Should dreams even be talked about? Maybe dreams should just be for you, for the dreamer.
Because Debbie Gibson once told me, only in my dreams, as real as it may seem, you were only in my dreams. Maybe I broke some sort of forbidden rule.
I think you did. I think dreams should be meant for the person that dreamed them. Because, you know, people can interpret it anyway. You know, you banged a dog.
But you think they should be kept secret? Like, you think they should be held onto with shame?
Not held onto with shame, but self-analyzed, maybe. Analyze them yourself. I don't think you need
to go and tell people, you know, oh, I banged you last night. What does that mean?
But Barb is pointing out, and it's sometimes dreams are so out of control that you have to tell other people. Granted, a sex dream, like, for the most part, granted, if there's a half dog involved, maybe then it's out of control. But for the most part, you're going to have run-of-the-mill sex. Even if it's a really excellent, every position, weirdest hole sex that you can imagine, it's still just going to be sex.
Do you have sex dreams a lot, though?
Not particularly.
I don't. And when was the first time you ever had one? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Because my whole life, I if I dreamed about sex, I would always wake up before it actually happened until I was like 30.
Wait a minute. You would wake up like...
I love that I'm getting my balls busted by Irish Alky because I passed the spaghetti. In an Italian home, you take the big bowl, you serve yourself, you hand the bowl to the person next to you. No? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? You pass the spaghetti.
Keith, are you saying like you would wake up during foreplay and you would never get to the sex?
Before foreplay, even like as anything was about to happen.
As soon as
like
you started talking to a girl, you would wake up.
As soon as anything good was going to happen, I would wake up. And it would piss me off.
Really?
And then finally, I remember it was like, I was probably like almost 30 or even 30 when I finally did have a dream.
You had your first wet dream at 30.
I never had a wet dream. I never woke up having... like,
I don't mean that you actually had a nocturnal emission, that you had sticky pants. I'm just saying that you didn't have a dream about sex. That to me is a wet dream.
Not where I actually...
Whoa. Your definition of a wet dream is thinking about sex?
No, it's not thinking about sex. It's a dream about sex.
The same. Well, yeah, dreaming about sex is your definition of a wet dream.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I don't know, my friend.
Okay, I understand. If you want to be technical and say that you have to be Mr. Sticky Pants for there to be real wetness to be in the dream, or to be in the real pants for it to be a wet dream.
If you were chilling with your boys, you're like, hey, man, I had a wet dream last night.
What? Wait, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm just saying, your description of dreaming about sex is, you know, I don't know.
A dream about sex, to me, is a wet dream. I don't actually have to blow my load in my pants for it to be considered a wet dream. That's what I'm saying. What are you talking about with your boys, bro? Were you in my dream with Tidbit? Is this what we're talking about here?
So you're saying in your 30s you could remember actually having sex in real life? No, in your dream. What? In your dream. That's when you started dreaming about sex. And
that's
really
the first time the dream actually was allowed to go into, like the act. I actually
You didn't copulate.
No, even anything. Like anything it was about to, like, there was no physical contact even, you know? Like, it was about
She leaned in for the kiss and he woke up in cold sweats. Whoa! That was close. That was close. Oh, my God.
So you were sexually frustrated in your dreams.
Yeah, exactly. Art imitating life. And then my dreams are art now.
Well, same difference. You said there was some weird like new wave music playing in the background. That's art to me.
When I finally woke up, I was just like, wow, that actually happened. I didn't get woken up. And then it happened for a while right after that, and then it hasn't happened since in years. Like 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, I hardly remember my dreams.
I'm being told by Pollock in the Heroes Talk Room that you have to blow that load for it to be a wet dream. Otherwise, it's just a good dream.
Okay.
I'm saying that maybe you don't have to be Mr. Sticky Pants. I'm saying like I believe that in a dream I might be able to achieve an orgasm without actually being.
Did you ever have a like the
Have I ever been Mr. Sticky Pants? Certainly.
Really?
Certainly.
Have you?
No, I can't remember.
Not often, but a couple times.
Rob?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Is that like an? I always thought I would.
Well,
have
you know, because if you wait so long, it's going to build up and explode.
Right. I was going to say I've had two wet dreams in my life. One that starred a half dog. One that starred Tidbit. Those are my two wet dreams.
But yeah, I always thought there was something wrong with me that never happened.
I agree. I thought the same thing. And I never woke up with wet pants. Maybe I didn't and it dried up and I didn't know.
You would know.
Right?
It would flake off. You'd be a mess. Oh. Matted down hair, because when you're doing that, you weren't into self grooming.
No, definitely not.
You would have had like matted hair, looked like a horror show. I mean, not that you look attractive anyway. It's not like you were a nice perm or anything.
But do you wake up like during it, like, or do you wake up the next day and know what happened?
Yeah,
or
usually
do you wake up right after.
You generally wake up right after. Like, ooh, look what I just did.
This is actually happening.
What have I done?
Wow, did you ever happen as an adult?
No. It was before I, it was when I was first becoming sexually aware, but had no wherewithal for anyone to ever touch me, which would be as an adult too, I guess. But no, I was very young at the time. Oh man, someone, okay. A wet dream is an erotic dream, usually at night, accompanied by the nocturnal emission of semen. All right. So then I only had two wet dreams in my life.
I've had a dry dream where I woke up drier than I was.
Covered in towels.
Yeah, never a wet dream. I don't know what it is. I can never remember my dreams as of maybe in the past 5 years.
By the way, I want to thank Dan for that, Dan from the Heroes Talk Room for giving me that, that definition from whatever it was, World Net Web. Oh, that's from Princeton. Nice. Sorry. So you don't remember any dreams?
I don't remember any.
Oh, I'm going to start keeping a dream journal, maybe.
Dream log?
Yeah, I probably won't. It's far too much work and not nearly as interesting as it should be.
I would have a recurring dream when I was younger about getting into a car accident with me, my brother, and my mother in the car, always. And I would wake up like right before impact, and it would always be the same dream. That would freak me out. That I would never talk about, too, because I thought if I talked about it, it was going to come true.
Well, that's the way it works.
Right?
That's actually how that's the law.
Oh.
So now you're going to really bang a dog?
Yes. I'm going to live the dream, and I'm going to cuddle with Tidbit, so maybe the dog's really in my future. I can only hope. One can only hope.
You never had a recurring dream?
The only recurring dreams I've had are just like – they're not really recurring dreams. They're recurring theme dreams.
Like what?
When you're scared of something and running like down the same hallway or something
falling.
Like that. Well, that's a very comforting feeling. Nice comforting feeling of just like falling backwards. Ah, lull me right into sleep.
No, I'm talking about falling like from a
30-story
building.
Wait, that's what I think. Falling backwards out of a window of a building. Ah, time to go to sleep. That's like some people count sheep. That's what I do to go to sleep. And they're like, oh, just imagine falling out the window at work. Oh, it'd be so great.
You count suicides?
Exactly.
How many times you commit suicide in a dream? Keith, any recurring dreams that you could remember?
I've talked about it already on the show a couple times, the Black Shoe Store.
Oh, the Black Shoe Store,
The Black
right.
Shoe Store was the dream I had when I was like 5, 6 years old, and I don't know what it was. I used to just wake up talking about, I used to talk about the Black Shoe Store in my sleep, and then I used to sleepwalk and point out the window at the Black Shoe Store. What I was pointing at was the bank that was miles away in between the two buildings that – you know, I was on one side of the project, and there was, you know, these two buildings, you know, and it was the Greenpoint Bank or something in Flatbush that I was like pointing at, and like that's what I would wake up and say was the Black Shoe Store. No idea.
Chris, on Martin Luther King Day, he brings up the Black Shoe Store.
So yeah, I thought it was. I can't believe it. Keith has told me this story before. And whenever he says the Black Shoe Store, even though he's explained this story to me multiple times, every time he says it, I think like, oh God, how dare you say that? And then remember, oh wait, that's right. It still has that feeling to me.
Totally.
It's very odd. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Magical, magical evening. Lots of coming outs. Lots of exciting things happening. Masturbation, dogs. You know, it's like a happy show. What else are you missing from a show? It's Best in Show. By the way, like I said, Best in Show on Heroes Talk, the star of the Heroes Talk Network, our buddy DJ Newstyle and Germ Freak, our buddies, they'll be doing their show tomorrow night, 9 p.m. here on Heroes Talk. Magic, Wonderland, good stuff. Over at Radio Bronze Fans, we have a fine forum for Heroes Talk, and Pickle from the Veal Chop and Pickle podcast, that's out there, the Awful Hour. He posted something online about a new program that's out from Microsoft. I don't know if you guys heard anything about this. I think it's called SongStation. SongStation is a Microsoft program that all you do is sing and tell the computer what kind of music you want it to be. You just sing to a beat, and it writes the music for you around it. Wow. And it's honestly one of the they're all coming out on the board about it, and just like, oh my God, this is awful. This is like the day the music died. This is terrible. This is a shame. And I agree. It's kind of awful for creativity as far as things like that are concerned for real music writing. But I think it's the most awesome thing in the entire world. The concept of it is just like insane. So I started looking online to see if I could find a crack for it. It's pretty cheap. It's only like a $30 program. So So obviously, I went and purchased this program, and I gave it a whirl, and I want to know what you guys thought of some of my Song Station.
Explain it one more time, what it does, though.
Okay, Song Station. It's a Microsoft program. You sing to a beat, like to a metronome, like click, 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 and tell it, I want this to be reggae, that's a little bit jazzy, happy, put it at this beat, whatever, blah, 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 the whole thing. And it actually does the song for you. It writes the music around
to vocals.
Your vocals. It detects what key you're in, puts it behind it. It's fantastic. So I bought the thing, and I'm curious if you guys, if maybe, I mean, I'm obviously no longer in a band. I'm thinking maybe I might have a career in music, and I want to see if you guys have any opinions over some of the musical things I've been thinking about doing. I'll start off with this one. Just give me what your opinion is. Want to go to the movies with my man Giz. Want to check out that flick by the guy named Big. But he's afraid to get shot, so we're not gonna go. That's music by the Song Station. Song Station by Microsoft. I thought it was a kind of a good song, right? And they put all that music behind it, like it instrumentalized it.
Well, what type of music was that that you asked for them to
put on? I think that was hip hop. I think that was hip hop. I thought it was. I thought that was kind of nice, right?
It was good. It's catchy.
You know, I thought it was a good one. I have a couple of the songs I did. Hey, I wrote this one for you, Fred. It's a real good one. Good one. Hey, Fred, where am I gonna get pot from? Now that I can't drink no more. I wanna have a real good time without kicking my liver out the door. No, I thought it was nice. That was
country.
That was bluegrass. That was a nice bluegrass song. I figure it was a nice little thing that I'd put together, and you guys would enjoy it.
That's great that it goes around the lyrics. I love that idea.
I want you guys to understand, and the work involved with this, obviously, it's very serious and very thorough. I downloaded the program. Literally 15 minutes before I left my house, I recorded 5 songs in those 15 minutes and then put them on my MP3 player and left.
So all you did was sing, and the beat and the music was
just a beat. It was tick, and you do to it. You tell it what kind of things you want. You take you.
But like, is that like that song? The music is it's going to be reused, right?
Well, no, because the music, the chords change based on what you're singing, because it goes with you. Yeah. Okay. Dude, it shows you what notes it picks, so you can alter it if you want to. If you want to get really into it. Bro, if you're calling out to me and you want to talk seriously, I'll talk seriously to you. I'll talk seriously to you in song. Wait, I hit the wrong button.
That would have been good otherwise.
In song. Keith, can't you call me every once in a while? You used to make me smile, but now you're never home. Oh, no, see, no.
See, this one I kept going. Oh.
By the way, that was, I think that was Alterna Pop. That was Alterna Pop.
Obviously.
You channeled Louis Armstrong in that song.
Yeah. I really didn't, I mean, I showed off my vocal range in all these songs, and I basically sang the same song over and over again.
Change that channel.
What? Come on.
I love it. I love this idea. Let's see who could come up with the best song, the station song for next week.
Well, you could download it without paying for it, but you only get it for 6 hours, and it goes by the time on your computer. So the time that you start it, 6 hours later, it's done. So in 6 hours, I figure you could write 400 albums.
Okay.
At that rate. It's so quick. I'm telling you.
You'd be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by Thursday.
Absolutely. I did 5 songs. I'm going to look into my list here as I'm going through my Songsmith hits. 1, 2, 3, yeah. 5 songs in 15 minutes.
And plus, you could write the songs before you download it for those 6 hours, so you could have 50 songs in your pocket ready to go before the 6 hours even starts.
Exactly. Great. Ready to go, doing what you can. Yeah, there's actually like a whole craze, like you find vocals on the internet, and it actually morphs the songs based on what you play to it. It turns them into things.
I would love it if you could read like a Shakespeare book, like Hamlet. And see what music it would.
Well, it depends on your inflection, and it depends on the tone that you're doing with it. I mean, like, you could sing a song about your liver, maybe, and see what exactly happens, you know? My liver really hurts. I wish that didn't. If Doc even cared about me, he'd call back in a minute. Then I'd know how I'm gonna die. I don't remember what that musical style was.
I love when the end of it just gets stuck on one chord because he's not singing.
I think it was upbeat. I actually think it was just upbeat.
Can we hear that one again?
You like my liver?
Yeah, totally.
Well, you guys were laughing over it. You missed a lot of the serious lyrics. Come on. Seriously, I reached out and touched a brother heart with that one, as Pristine is suggesting in the Pal Talk room. Bro, my liver. My liver really hurts. I wish that didn't. If Doc even cared about me, he'd call back in a minute. Then I'd know how I'm gonna die.
I just love, my liver really hurts. Think Kermit the Frog.
I love how I'm gonna die.
That was the first one I recorded, like, still laughing like an idiot, like, so proud. Like, wow, I can't believe this thing's gonna work. It was, oh man, back in the good old days, before I started. By the way, I love that I'm saying that, yeah, I wrote 5 songs in 15 minutes. I don't think there's a minute's worth of music with all 5 of these songs. Songs, as they were.
Well, you had to have your period, you know, you had to sit on the floor and think in between.
Yeah, and it's really important. It's really important. I want to point out, I wish that Brian was here today, because this one, I penned it for him, and it's, I mean, in light of the recent struggles he's been going through, I was really trying to help him out. I hope Brian gets a job real soon. I think he's in a place of perpetual doom, because he's got no work. He's kind of a jerk, but that don't mean a thing. Why, you thought there was more? That was before I figured out how to stop recording fast, so I got a long song.
That should be up for a Grammy on Best in Show.
I think these are good things. I think it's at least as good as your happy song that you stole off of your Mac that time.
This would be great. Maybe we should all cover like the same song, and we'll do it in a different style.
Yeah, the thing is,
I would love to see the same style, everyone else singing, and see if like...
I think I recommend everyone download the Sound Station, whatever the hell is it called? Songsmith. Download Microsoft Songsmith this week. In 6 hours, write as much as you can, or be like me and spend the $30 and just have it, because I'm going to have a blast with this thing. I'll never do it on the show again other than the one time that we do it, but I will... I just love the idea of just sitting there like an idiot, because like, I'm a guy that just sings everything when I'm walking around, like, ooh, God, I hate your face, you know, like as I'm walking down the street. Like, if someone could, like, like behind that, that's huge. Although I didn't try the techno beat. That's the next one I
got
to get to.
They got tech. So they have every genre of.
They didn't have speed metal. That's what I was looking for. I was hoping for a speed metal song for some of these.
They have classical?
Yes, they have classical. They have big band. They have alternapop, which is
Broadway.
I didn't notice Broadway, but they have 50s, like doo-wop. They have lots of good stuff. Oh, I just remembered, Keith, what our song is. Our song. But your song, the one for Keith, was it's Twist. It was a twist. That's what that song was. I don't know if that means anything to you. Excellent. Mark Dock is posting the link. Is posting the link in both the Pal Talk room and the Heroes Talk room. It's exciting.
What a great idea. That's awesome.
I'm glad I had it. I mean, Microsoft did, but I'm glad that I had the idea. It's really a lot of fun. Just screw around and have fun. Find vocals online and do it. I think that's actually what people showed, that thing that's going around, or that's been going on for a couple of years now, the Running with the Devil vocals of David Lee Roth being set to big band is out there on YouTube. Like, there's lots of people that do stuff like that with it. It's fun.
It's just fun.
I
always feel weird buying software off the internet, because I always feel like there's a place I could probably get it, but I guess it's a lot of work.
You can go to a store, but...
No, I mean just like download it from somewhere, but I guess that's too much work. I guess for $30 especially.
Yeah, buy it for $30, exactly. It's not worth looking for a crack for $30. That was the thing. I was looking for a crack, though I would not, I wouldn't advise that. I don't think that that's the proper thing to do.
I'm speaking hypothetically, of course. Mm-hmm. If I was a scumbag, that's what I'd be looking for, but...
You could take like a Barack Obama's inauguration speech and put it to something. You know, you could take a lot of stuff.
He's kind of monotone, though, right? He doesn't really like yeah, his range doesn't go around too much. I love, by the way, that Vanessa and Mark Dock are both saying that they're going to be singing the liver song all week.
God, I can't get the first line out of my head. Kermit the Frog.
That's not Kermit the Frog. Shut up. It's a genius. My liver really hurts. I wish that didn't. If Doc even cared about me, he'd call back in a minute. Then I know how I'm gonna die.
If my doctor would call. What? What's that line?
Well, maybe if you paid attention during the show today, I tried to get my doctor, but he didn't go to work. He wouldn't call me back because of the snow.
Exactly. So what's the exact line? If my doctor...
My liver really hurts. I wish that it didn't. If my doctor called... I don't even remember. If my doctor called me back or something, Pristine is also chiming in that the song is stuck in his head. I love it. I think it's poignant.
My liver really hurts.
My liver really hurts. I wish that it didn't. If Doc even cared about me, he'd call back in a minute. Then I'd know how I'm gonna die. It's a shame that this song wasn't out before our top 64 tournament got established over at RadioBronzeFans.com.
You need one of those recordable greeting cards and send it to his office.
Please have it be an answering machine message on your cell phone, so when your doctor does call, he'll hear that.
I will tell my doctor that I wrote a song about him. I promise when he calls and says, "Hey, Chris, by the way, you have liver cancer." I'm like, "Oh, I got a funny joke to tell you. I did this thing on my radio show. It's great." "Oh, did you say dying?" "Oh, so see, if I'm going to die," is what I'll say to him in the vocals.
How you doing with that drinking? Good?
I miss it.
You miss it?
I miss it a lot.
What has it been, 48, right? 72
No, 48 hours was 70. No, I'm almost out a week. Tomorrow's a week.
Tomorrow's a week?
Tomorrow's a week that I haven't had a drink.
Congratulations, my friend.
Yeah, it's nothing to congratulate me for. People, you know, I'm a grown-up. It's something to be proud of, I don't think. I mean, I miss it. I wish that I could drink, but I don't.
It's something to be proud of. You got to keep that in your head.
I don't think it's something that should be worn as a badge of honor. If it's something that I want to do for myself, then it's something that I'm doing for myself. It's not, you know, people shouldn't be proud of me because I decided to not drink. I could be proud of myself if I want to. My wife could be proud of no beer cans around the house. But, you know, I don't think it should be, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to be wearing I'm not going to wear my, the little keychain things on my belt and let people know, hey, look, I got my 30-day chip or whatever.
But if somebody comes up to you and congratulates you, you're going to say thank you?
Nah.
No? You're not even going to take it?
Well, okay, thanks. Thanks. Whatever. Big whoop.
Chris.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thanks, bro. Congratulations to you, because you've managed to sit through 3 hours of Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. Thanks to Nugget. Thanks to, help me out, who called? Thanks to Jenny. Thanks to Barb. Oh, obviously. Big thanks to Barb. Obviously, always thanks to Vanessa. I think that's it, right?
More importantly, thanks to Alex for fueling your dreams.
Well, I thank him in my dreams on a nightly basis. We appreciate you guys. Another computer just crashed.
No, we're good.
We'll see you guys next week here on Best in Show. Actually, no, this week, this Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow night for the DJ New Style Show. And, I don't know, hanging, banging, chilling, whatnot, you know? Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Peace.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.